Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours and will start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Hartley Carnes. Making the pitch for a bailout in the Senate, the CEOs of GM, Ford, and Chrysler. CEO of Chrysler, Robert Nardelli.
We're asking for assistance for one reason, to address the devastating automotive industry recession.
The latest on the Senate hearing, CBS's John Harchie.
The CEOs of the Detroit Three argue they are making the tough choices, downsizing and cutting labor costs while developing quality, high-tech, fuel-efficient vehicles for the future. GM's Rick Wagner said bad management is not why they need a government loan.
What exposes us to failure now is the global financial crisis, which has severely restricted credit availability.
A single witness against a government loan was a University of Maryland professor, Peter Morisi, who suggested bankruptcy ultimately would be good.
You don't think giving these guys $25 billion right now is a smart idea.
John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Earlier in the House, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said the economic bailout money is not for toxic mortgage assets or the car companies, but the FDIC's Sheila Bair told Congress.
Everyone agrees that more needs to be done for homeowners. We need to prevent unnecessary foreclosures, and we need to modify loans at a much faster pace.
And Fed Chairman Bernanke seemed to agree with her on that. Working in space, not such a walk in the park this time around. CBS's Peter King joins us now live from the Kennedy Space Center.
There's some anxious moments for one astronaut working with a grease gun. It went off prematurely and gunked up a camera and Heidi Stefanish and Piper's space gloves while she was cleaning up.
Oh, great.
She accidentally lost a bag of tools.
And it's floating station aft and starboard.
They're gone, but partner Steve Bowen's been sharing his. They've been lubricating and cleaning the inner surface of a damaged motor, which keeps the station's solar wings pointed at the sun. Harley?
Sorry to have to say this. Ginkgo biloba, the brain thing, won't cure or prevent Alzheimer's.
Ken and Betty Hoffman shared 58 years, then he developed Alzheimer's disease and died.
He meant the world to me. We had a good marriage.
She joined a large study led by researcher Stephen Dukoski to see if ginkgo biloba, an herb widely used to improve memory, prevents Alzheimer's or dementia. It doesn't, this study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds. Dukoski says it's important to keep looking for prevention approaches.
Delaying the onset of disease by 10 years would effectively eliminate it from the population.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Holiday travel will be down a bit this year due to the recession. The government's going to open up some military air lanes, but that does not mean everything's going to be easy going.
You're still going to see very long lines at airports, particularly in the Northeast, and you're still going to end up in a middle seat between two fat guys.
David Field at Airline Business Magazine. CBS News has learned longtime Washington insider Eric Holder is Barack Obama's choice to be attorney general. After some initial hesitation, Holder has now told the Obama team he does want the job. He'd be the nation's first black attorney general. Wall Street, the Dow up 151 points today. This is CBS News.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Guys, the men's store inside JCPenney makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. Right now, get what you need before you start buying gifts for all the other people in your life. They've got a sale made just for you with great prices on all your favorite brands like Dockers, Izod, Van Heusen, Levi's, Haggard, St. John's Bay, and Stafford. Plus, get great deals on shirts, jackets, pants, jeans, and dress clothes. Style, quality, and price matter. Every day matters. JCPenney.
I Aside from the bailout debate on Capitol Hill, Ford has announced big incentives to generate new sales, and it's auto show season.
The 2010 Mustang modernizes the vehicle's look and increases both the power and the fuel economy. But the vehicle comes at a time when car sales are at historic lows. That's the time you need new products, says Ford's top North American designer, Peter Horbury.
You know, it's a car like this which will start, you know, getting people's blood going again and thinking, well, you know, I've got to have a new car for the spring.
The LA Auto Show, which starts tomorrow, also features a new Nissan Z and a bevy of new hybrids. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Chad Toy got out of the McCracken County Jail in Paducah, Kentucky, just walked out while a trustee on the cleanup detail. But he got to thinking about how escaping had amped up the situation, returned to the jail, rang the doorbell, and apologized for running, said, "Let me in." He was cold and wet, evidently tired from hiding near the Tennessee River. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
If you've ever struggled with a sick kid while trying to get his temperature, you'll love the new temporal scanner by Exergen. It works like magic. Just press a button, gently scan your child's forehead, and get an accurate reading, just like that. It's safe, quick, effective, and used by doctors and premier hospitals. Imagine no more sticking thermometers in ears or rears. You can even use it while your child is sleeping. The temporal scanner from Exergen, a better thermometer for your family, and the best money you'll ever spend. Available at the pharmacy, at Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you hear a lot of messages trying to get you to buy something. Well, this is a message about buying into something. Let's redefine Christmas. Consider giving those you care about donations to their favorite charities in their names, and ask that they do the same for you. Your giving will do far more good in the world, and chances are you'll like the way it feels. If this sounds like something you can buy into, visit the website redefinechristmas.org.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Talk radio you can dance to. This program beaming to you fresh today from San Francisco. Lots to talk about, plenty of great people joining me on the program, and your phone calls too at 888-5-PETER-B. It's one of my favorite tunes and was one of my favorite rock videos of all time. It's True Faith by New Order. And in the video, two guys keep the beat by slapping each other in the face. Pretty different. Book our shows, it happens in a very unusual, unorthodox way. Some people have been scheduled for a couple of days, some people at the last minute. And then we take a look at the lineup, and inadvertently, today is Washington Think Tank Day here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Malou Innocent will join us in a moment from the Cato Institute. Ken Goode from the Center for American Progress will be with us later this hour to talk about the closure of Gitmo. He wrote a paper last May of 2008. A blueprint for the closure of Gitmo, and Barack Obama is moving forward on a campaign pledge about that. We'll talk about it with Ken Goode a little bit later. And then from the progressive think tank, the Campaign for America's Future, Bob Borisage will talk to us about bottom-up ways to fix our economy. And we'll talk about the GM bailout and what I'm referring to as the extortion letter that GM published, a full-page ad in the Chronicle. We've confirmed it was in the Memphis newspaper today and maybe others around the country. offering their talking points with a series of false choices about why they deserve a bailout. And we'll talk with Jason Leopold about a number of issues. He's our friend and investigative reporter at the Public Record on the web at pubrecord.org. And Melanie Sloan will join us to kick off the Free Speech Zone in our third hour today. She's at CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And she's got case files on Senator Saxby Chambliss and good old Congressman Dollar Bill Jefferson from Louisiana. That crook got reelected. It's just amazing. And Ted Stevens isn't done yet. We'll probably get an update from Jason on that as the program progresses. You can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, and your calls are welcome here. It's toll-free. I write the check every month, so we pay for your phone time. You don't have to worry about it. Malou Innocent is a foreign policy analyst at the Cato Institute and formerly a public policy intern with my pal and my favorite atheist congressman, Pete Stark, from the East Bay of San Francisco. Malou, welcome to our program today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Peter B.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and you've been focusing on some issues that I care a lot about and I think are getting insufficient debate in the current climate, and that has to do with the troubles in Pakistan and the tribal regions that border Afghanistan and the situation in Afghanistan. I'm one of those people who's very concerned that there's been little challenge to Barack Obama's pledge to put more American troops into Afghanistan. And I'm not unalterably opposed to that, but I recognize that Afghanistan has never successfully been occupied. I believe that the Soviet attempt to occupy it in the 80s was part of what caused the collapse of the Soviet Union. We certainly helped that by funding the Mujahideen, including a guy named Osama bin Laden, who was taking on the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. So what are your thoughts as you see the transition taking place, the team being assembled, and can we get a coherent debate going on the future of U.S. presence in Afghanistan?
Well, thank you so much, Peter B., for having me on. I must say that first, but I think that you actually have a very sophisticated understanding of exactly the complexities of this region, and I'm happy that you mentioned the Soviet Union and how they became bogged down in a bloody and protracted guerrilla war similar to our experience in Vietnam, in the sense that we really need to look at history when we look at Afghanistan and Pakistan. And it's good in the sense that President-elect Barack Obama is looking at this region, because this region has been neglected since essentially spring 2002. When President Bush withdrew most of America's special operations forces and CIA paramilitary operatives off the hunt for bin Laden.
He also illegally diverted funds that Congress had appropriated for Afghanistan and al-Qaeda and diverted them into the planning for the invasion of Iraq.
Right, right. I mean, this is really just an egregious violation of not only U.S. policy, but, I mean, really the mandate that he was operating on in the sense of defending the U.S. homeland. And in this respect, he really took his eye off the ball. And granted, many presidents and throughout our history have made many mistakes, but not that many have dropped the ball on al-Qaeda. And in this respect, I think President-elect Obama must begin looking at Afghanistan and Pakistan as a single entity. He also needs to recognize that we are not just fighting the Taliban. We are fighting the Taliban, al-Qaeda, the Haqqani Network, Lashkar-e-Taiba. There are a lot of groups there, and we're going to need an approach in the tribal areas that was much like the approach we used in Iraq and Al-Anbar province. We're going to have to buy some people off. We're going to have to work with them.
I appreciate your candor there. Okay, I'm not offended by candor, Malou. Go ahead.
I mean, it's a very complex situation. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, we're going to have to get on the ground and understand these tribal networks, the clans, the subclans, the extended families. It's extremely complex, these Pashtun tribes that inhabit the Afghan-Pakistan border, and it's going to require a comprehensive understanding of the problems we face. But it is a good start that Barack Obama is looking back on this region and saying this is where the fight needs to begin.
Well, there I'm with you, Malou, but again, I want to see Democrats and particularly progressive ones stand up and say, wait a minute, Mr. President, you correctly stated in a debate earlier this year that you don't want to just end the war in Iraq. You want to end the mindset that led to that war. Well, the mindset that's currently being embraced by Senator Obama and apparently his top foreign policy advisors isn't really taking that into account. And I understand your point. I do believe that we need to work in those in the Waziristan, south and north tribal provinces of Pakistan, and that we also have to recognize the role that these warlords play in Afghanistan, and that they are loyal to the person who paid them last. And so, yes, we could buy some alliances, I believe, on the Afghanistan side. But let me challenge you a little bit, because I'm not so sure that the Taliban and similar groups in the tribal areas that are Islamic-based and in a jihadist mode, I'm not so sure that they can be dealt with. Mullah Omar has rebuffed Hamid Karzai's entreaties to come and meet, even with Karzai's guarantees of security. Now, I don't know how good those guarantees are, and if I were Omar, I probably would be doubtful. But I'm not sure that you can really deal with the Taliban in ways that you and I would find rational, if a little sleazy, like buying off the Sunnis that we did in Anbar province. So do you really believe there is a Western approach to the Taliban and these related entities that actually would work and lead to, A, the apprehension or killing of Osama and his top lieutenants, and, B, can we do it without causing a war, either internally in Pakistan, internally in Afghanistan, or perhaps between parties of those two nations?
Well, I think you're right in the sense that there are going to be tremendous risks if we consider such an approach. But I do, however, think that this is a much better approach than, say, unilateral missile strikes or the continual commando raids done not at the behest of the Pakistan government, but essentially ignoring the sovereignty of Pakistan. I think it must be done cooperatively between Pakistani security forces on the ground and U.S. special operations forces. So you do bring up a good point. There will be a lot of risks entailed with this. As far as whether or not we can pull the Taliban away from, I guess, the more intractable elements, that's actually a very good point as well, in the sense that the Afghan government, the White House, and U.S. Central Command are currently reviewing a new approach to sort of peel Pashtun tribes in the southern and eastern portions of Afghanistan away from the hardcore elements of the Taliban. So this would essentially be dialogue with the rank and file or the day-to-day pro-Taliban insurgents and sort of peeling them away from the senior leadership. Now, this may have no impact on the senior leadership's decision to renounce violence or stop recruiting. And even if we did engage the Taliban, that doesn't mean that Afghanistan will be a full blossoming Jeffersonian democracy by any means.
Well, and we have very serious risks. This is a complex set of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I, for one, am not attempting to dumb it down and make it black and white and simple the way Bush tries to do it. But we have various balancing acts here, because Hamid Karzai is barely in charge of the central government in Kabul, and he really doesn't control most of the territory in Afghanistan.
Right. I think that's a critical issue, actually, and this is really the problem of the Bush administration for the past 7 years, in the sense that it was sort of on autopilot. The Bush administration relied heavily on Afghanistan's national entities. It relied heavily on Hamid Karzai as the president. It relied heavily on the Afghan security forces.
Mm-hmm.
When most of the country is essentially a tapestry of tribes and warlords that have rarely really been governed centrally from the capital.
Right.
So again, what you mentioned earlier about this Western mindset, I think you're correct in the sense that we have to step away from looking at this as like a Westphalian system of this perfectly cohesive entity of a state. This is a country, as you said, has not been able to be conquered by foreign fighters. It has very amorphous borders. It's on top of these problems, it's dealing with an insurgency, a very mm-hmm. rabid insurgency in its southern and eastern portions. And we've thrown ourselves into this nation-building mission, and it's quite unfortunate given the economic problems we're dealing with now. I mean, levees are collapsing, bridges are collapsing, hospitals are closing here, and yet we're willing to basically rebuild a country from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And we really just have to re-examine what are our priorities, what do we want with this Afghanistan mission, because right now NATO and the U.S. partners are completely rudderless. I mean, honestly, there's no comprehensive objective we want to achieve. What do we want to achieve? Do we want to eradicate the opium? Do we want to unseat the Taliban? Do we want to, there's really no sort of cohesive understanding of what we want to achieve in this country.
We're going to take a break and return with Malu Innocent from the Cato Institute. And as we continue, I want to focus across the border in Pakistan, a nuclear power with a new prime minister, Zardari, who is just barely in control there with a very powerful military. We'll take a break and continue with Malu. If you have a question or comment, give me a call now. Toll free. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. What are you going to do about it?
Commentary and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
I'm Glenn Sadowski from Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, depression, asthma, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been in use for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms but the actual root causes of disease? At Optimal Health, we offer acupuncture, lymphatic, deep tissue, and hot stone massage, have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and for acupuncture, we accept insurance. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health at 655-3208, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, make informed decisions, and create healthier lifestyles. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Optimal Health, where you'll receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
With summer pretty much over, the days are getting shorter, but that doesn't mean your runs have to. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Stop in the store and check out our fall and winter gear. We've got bright, reflective nightlife accessories and plenty of warm, soft winter apparel. Stick to your usual running and walking routine. Don't let the changing seasons slow you down. We'll have a nighttime run series with free gear for runners and walkers, and we've got plenty of advice on how to be safe and warm. Get on our newsletter list and drop in for more info. As always, we offer a free gait analysis to find the best shoe for you. Stop by Central Coast Running and let us keep you going this fall.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Transmito en vivo from San Francisco. Talking with Malou Innocent, a foreign policy analyst at the Cato Institute in Washington. And as I mentioned before the break, Malou, this is a very complex situation on both sides of the Afghan-Pakistan border. And on the Pakistani side, we have a very unstable situation. Benazir Bhutto was assassinated. Her husband, Zardari, has taken over. But the generals are ultimately in charge whenever they want to assert their authority. They are deeply Islamic, and they created the Taliban as a buffer to try to pacify Afghanistan so that Pakistan could concentrate on its real tensions with its border with India. And we've compounded this because in election season, the Bush administration appeared to really step up the effort to nail bin Laden and al-Zawahiri with raids two, three times a week with these predator drones attacking often civilian buildings and homes and communities and creating, in my estimation, you know, much more fallout than progress. And so as we look at this, there's this don't ask, don't tell, this kind of wink and nod deal that appears to be in place between Zardari and the Bush administration that, oh, yeah, you can attack and I will protest, but I don't really mean it and we'll just kind of let this slide. And so I don't underestimate at all what Obama is inheriting here and the degree of difficulty in sorting it out.
You know, I think you actually raise an interesting point with, as far as whether there's a personal understanding between Bush and Zardari as far as giving a wink and a nod to some of these incursions within Pakistan, because what was interesting is that shortly after many of the commando raids that we saw just last August, just a couple months ago, is that it was almost as if the Pakistani political elite were manufacturing their outrage, because they really did nothing as far as there was only sort of a toothless condemnation of America's incursions. However, after the one large incident within Pakistan, within, I believe it was in South Waziristan, where there was a major U.S.-led commando raid, Pakistan actually stopped, temporarily halted all Afghanistan-bound fuel and supplies traveling through Pakistan into Afghanistan, which is landlocked. And roughly 70% of fuel and supply shipments that go into Afghanistan go through the Khyber Agency of Pakistan alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting in the sense that Barack Obama will inherit a huge swath of problems within this region, and also just balancing how to deal with the Pakistani leadership will also be problematic on for many reasons. I think that's why a judicious approach in many areas, especially when it deals with the Pakistan front and this sort of so-called war on terror, is to sort of employ low-level clear and hold operations along the Afghan and Pakistan frontier, because these missile strikes, granted, I'm sure that they extinguish high-value targets, but at the same time, the collateral damage from this.
Well, and we keep hitting. We
drives into the Taliban camp.
We seem to have predators in Afghanistan that can only find wedding parties and kill women and children. It's
right.
It's bizarre.
Exactly. I mean, this is the thing. I talked to my friends at the DoD, and I'm saying, like, okay, I understand that these missiles are quite accurate, but the thing that's inaccurate is intelligence. We don't have on-the-ground intelligence as far as how we can aggressively respond to attacks on troops and civilians. When, again, we see a large gathering using signaling intelligence that may be a band of terrorists or it might be someone at a wedding party. So I think you raise an interesting point there as well.
Malou, just about 30 seconds remaining, so excuse me, but do you see any members of the transition team or likely members of the Obama cabinet that understand the complexity of the issues we've been discussing here?
If the transition team, I'm not sure. I know that If Secretary of Defense Robert Gates stays on, he appears to be a little more on the pragmatic side, not of the neoconservative architects of the Iraq War kind of ilk, in the sense that he was the one tempering Bush on not to attack Iran. He's been openly endorsing a more balanced approach with Iran. So it seems like him, and also General David Petraeus, who is the chief of Central Command.
Okay, let me stop you there. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Malou, we'll talk again. A pleasure to have you on the program.
It's been a pleasure. Take care, Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the New York Life Insurance Company. Life insurance from New York Life is one of the most selfless gifts you can give your family. That's why New York Life is the company you keep. And by the Society of Retina Specialists in Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. CEO is only a three-letter abbreviation for Chief Executive Officer, but these days, CEO has become like a nasty four-letter word. The CEO and six other top executives at the investment firm of Goldman Sachs announced that they would all forego their usual big bonuses this year. And with good reason, says compensation consultant David Schmidt.
They've received billions of dollars from the public, and to receive bonuses in the face of all that would have appeared to be piggish.
Wall Street employees often get up to 80% of their compensation in year-end bonuses. More after this. The most common cause of blindness in people aged 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, AMD. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, go see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message was brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Citigroup yesterday announced 53,000 job cuts. People feel sorry for those people, but not for the top executives. New York State's Attorney General Andrew Cuomo.
People are upset, and with good cause. You know, you have people who have seen their life savings go out the window. They were then called on for $1 trillion of tax dollars to bail out the institutions that caused the problem in the first place.
And the big executive bonuses really rub it in. Compensation consultant David Schmidt says the way bonuses are structured often gives people extra reason to make extra risky decisions.
The more money you can bring into the firm, the more you're going to receive in terms of bonus and hopefully income for the firm. I think for those who are making those deals, if for some reason those deals don't work out, the personal repercussions are probably not what they should be.
Wall Street firms are still planning to hand out about $14 billion in bonuses for 2008. Will Goldman Sachs top executives foregoing their bonuses catch on? CBS News correspondent Priya David.
Goldman is the industry leader. It is the gold standard for investment banks. And the analysts we've spoken with say it's very likely that other firms will follow. Not only other firms within this industry, but other industries are watching this very closely as well.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Sunday night on 60 Minutes, Barack Obama renewed his pledge to close Guantanamo. Transition team members are working on executive orders to do it.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to chalk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they go, I see myself in the pistol smoke. Fool, I'm the kind of G a little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the street light.
I'm not sure Gitmo qualifies as a gangster's paradise, but there goes Coolio with those braids. Thank you very much, sir. Ken Good joins me now from the Center for American Progress. He's the Associate Director of the International Rights and Responsibility Program there at CAP. And before that, he was over at the Center for National Security Studies, where he focused on post-September 11 civil liberties issues, which is quite a portfolio that continues to grow. Ken Good, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me on, Peter.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, and I want to give you credit because in May of this year, May 2008, you published a document, essentially a blueprint, for closing Guantanamo Bay. So you must have some sense of satisfaction, or at least promise, that the incoming Obama administration appears to be ready to follow through on a very important campaign pledge.
Well, it sure feels good, and we're very glad to hear the president-elect repeat his campaign promise to close Guantanamo. And there's been a lot of speculation on exactly what's going to happen, but the trajectory is clear. Probably very soon after Obama takes office, he will close Guantanamo.
Yeah. Yesterday on the program, we talked with Laurel Fletcher, an attorney and law professor at the University of California at Berkeley. And they published a study, and just for listeners who didn't have a chance to hear that segment yesterday, I'd like to recommend that you take a look at the report. It's detailed, and it's 136 pages long. But in it, you will find stunning and grisly stories of the barbaric treatment that prisoners at Guantanamo have received. And I think it's very important for every American to know this. The report is available online at the San Francisco Chronicle website, which is sfgate.com. And then you need these four letters in capitals, /ZFJQ. I'll repeat that, sfgate.com/ZFJQ. Now, Ken, I don't know if you've had a chance to read that report, but chances are you've been following the whole Guantanamo and the detention centers at Bagram, at Abu Ghraib, which didn't have so many so-called enemy combatants. It was more Iraqi irregulars there at Abu Ghraib. But the policies and the practices have been exposed as quite similar, and it belies the statement from Bush that America doesn't torture. We clearly have tortured, and it has caused problems with the potential prosecutions of those individuals who we know have been tortured, and it appears from the UC Berkeley report that virtually everyone was subjected to elements that would qualify as torture or inhumane treatment under the Geneva Conventions.
Well, certainly. I think looking at a lot of the treatment that we see at Guantanamo, it falls very clearly into the category of inhumane treatment at a minimum. The interrogation practices that were put in place by the Bush administration, not just at Guantanamo, but all across the entire theater in the campaign against al-Qaeda, whether it's in Bagram in Afghanistan or many places in Iraq or at Guantanamo, it's clear that torture has taken place. Interestingly, today, Dana Perino revised the way the Bush administration talks about torture. She repeatedly said that the United States does not torture, with an emphasis on the tense of the word does. She today she said the United States did not torture and has never tortured. And
well, that's a flat lie.
It's an outright lie.
Yeah, the evidence is very clear.
It's been contradicted by the CIA director, among other people. So it's just clear that the interrogation practices that the Bush administration put in place for Guantanamo and all across the campaign against Al-Qaeda, we've engaged in torture, and it's going to be a real problem for us.
Now, Ken, when Perino made that comment, were her fingers visible and were fingers crossed? I mean, you know, they have redefined torture using John Yoo's memos and other mechanisms so that they can make these false statements, not with a clear conscience, but just with enough spin to get away with it.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's any number of legal definitions that you can choose to define away any meaning in a word, but then there's the common sense meaning, and we all know what torture is. And if waterboarding doesn't qualify as torture, their torture just doesn't have any meaning.
Yeah. So coming from that mindset where we have a kind of public denial, while inside we know that David Addington and Dick Cheney and Don Rumsfeld and over at Defense, the counsel, Jim Haynes, that they were really the drivers of the policy. And as Colin Powell and others at the State Department were trying to come up with their own program and processes and protocols for dealing with detainees from the so-called War on Terror, we know from Philippe Sand's book, Torture Team, that the White House bypassed State and basically, in collusion with the Pentagon, created a deniability chain to make it look like it was a low-level official like Diane Beaver saying, hey, we got some guys who won't talk. Mind if we rough them up a little bit? And, in fact, it was Rumsfeld saying, send me some memos that you want to rough them up a little bit, and I'll approve it.
Well, sure. It was a plan that was hatched in the White House. And the chain moves from the White House to the Pentagon right down to Guantanamo and then on over to Afghanistan. It's very clear. And you know, this is how orders are transmitted in the government and in the military. It goes from the leadership on down the chain of command to the soldiers on the ground. And it's quite clear where this originated, and it's quite clear where the responsibility lies.
Ken Gude with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's at the Center for American Progress. G-U-D-E is how he spells his name, and I recommend that you go to the site, AmericanProgress.org, and click on his name under the Experts tab, and it'll take you to the article that we're about to discuss. It was published in the Guardian UK in June of this year, and it's essentially a blueprint for closing Guantanamo. And in it, Ken, you anticipated some of the arguments that are being raised right now, some of the proposals to deal with this group of prisoners and ways to try to bring them into either the military justice system or U.S. courts. And in a little bit, we'll talk about an article in Monday's New York Times where you were quoted about that very issue. But first, I'd like you, for the benefit of our listeners, to quickly tick off the five phases that you envisioned for the closure of Guantanamo and the resolution of, okay, what do we do with these people?
Sure. Well, and I'll try and go through them quickly, and then we may come back to specific points if you'd like.
Sure.
But the first phase is something that the next president, now President-elect Obama, should do very soon after he takes office, and that's immediately change the dynamic at Guantanamo. And I argue that the window for action is going to be very narrow, but the actual time necessary to do all of the things that you need to do to get the prison population at Guantanamo down to zero just can't be accomplished in that short window. So what I recommend is that the president-elect announce that he intends to close Guantanamo at a date fixed certain in the future. I put it at 18 months. Some other people have put it at 12. Some others even as rapidly as 6.
Mm-hmm.
That will immediately change the way Guantanamo is perceived. It's not some aspirational goal to close Guantanamo. There is a time certain. The clock will be ticking. We need to take some action rather quickly. The next step is to turn it into what has been, to reverse the situation at Guantanamo, which is to create and make it as transparent as possible. Dramatically reverse the way that it has been perceived. The next step in phase two is to make a transfer into to the United States of a detainee who is ready to face criminal charges, whether that's in a federal or a military court. There is one detainee at Guantanamo who is already under federal indictment for his involvement in the 1998 East Africa Embassy bombings, and it would be relatively simple to transfer him into the United States, retake up that case, mm-hmm. have him indicted again in federal court, and try him in federal court. I think if once we do that, we will create a further momentum towards this concept that the Obama administration intends to deal very differently with detainees at Guantanamo and detainees in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then phase three, go ahead.
Sure. The next phase is to identify the additional people who need to be tried. Or actually, I'm sorry, that's phase four. Phase three is establishing a resettlement and rehabilitation program. A huge problem that we have at Guantanamo is that there's a large number of detainees who are there who have already been cleared for release, but for a number of reasons can't be sent back to their home countries.
Most notably the Uyghurs that
sure, Uyghurs.
Judge Urbina is mm-hmm. trying to release.
Mm-hmm. And so I want to establish a resettlement program that works with our allies to find new homes for these countries. But it's not just something that the U.S. can go and shop around to other countries. We have to be willing to take some of these detainees into the United States ourselves.
Agreed.
And the example, of course, would be the Uyghurs. The Bush administration is fighting the judge in his efforts to have him released into the United States. There's already a Uyghur community just outside the Washington, D.C. area that has been identified and is ready to welcome these 17 Uyghurs into their community. Then President Obama should simply order their release into the United States.
I agree.
And that would, again, be further evidence that his administration intends to deal differently with this situation. That would create not only momentum to close Guantanamo, but should improve our ability to find new homes for the detainees who should be transferred to other countries, whether that's countries in Europe or Asia or Africa. That would create some new momentum behind that project. That would get about a third of the detainees out of Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm.
The next phase, phase four, is to move very quickly then after those initial trials in the U.S. to scrapping the military commission systems as a whole and moving the high-value detainees and other detainees who are determined to be facing criminal charges into the United States to stand trial.
And Ken, can I just interrupt there? Because
sure.
The one thing that's missing from the description here in phase four is to charge these people. Most of them have been held without charge.
Absolutely.
And they should be charged before they are remanded to any court in the United States. And if we can't charge them, we should release them.
Well, that's exactly why I propose a staged program, because I don't believe that we should be bringing individuals into the United States that face no charges.
Yeah.
And so the staged process is to enable the next administration to review these cases, identify who should be facing criminal charges, bring those charges in federal court, and then transfer them into the United States.
And out of the roughly 250 detainees at Guantanamo, would you estimate at the most 10% or even 15% might meet the standard of a very serious terrorist?
Well, I think the high-value number that the Bush administration places, and you know, we don't always give a lot of credence to what they say, but it's in the neighborhood of 10%. So we're talking about 25 guys. Now, there could be some other detainees there who, upon further review, have committed a crime that's worthy of trial.
Mm-hmm.
And we simply don't know exactly how many that is, but
right.
we can estimate that there could be up to as many as 50 or so
mm-hmm.
there at Guantanamo who could face criminal charges.
Right. So this is not an overwhelming task. It's really sifting through the BS of the Bush administration and the way they have detained these people with circular logic and, you know, often very little evidence, and really determine who the people are who deserve to be charged and tried and proceed with those cases. But we really need to sift through that sooner than later.
Exactly. And I call for a review period that lasts of each case that lasts no more than 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
So that 1 month into the new administration or 1 month from the announcement that Guantanamo will be closed, the review of these cases will be completed. You know, because real urgency does exist. Because while it's a new problem for the Obama administration to tackle, many of the Guantanamo detainees have been there now for or will be there by January 2009 for 7 years.
Yeah.
And it's simply not an excuse to delay action. action in those cases that the new administration is just coming on board. They need to move quickly to work through these cases, identify who should be put on trial, and identify who are good candidates for release or transfer.
And briefly, let's cover phase five, then I need to take a break. Go ahead.
Sure. Phase five is the final phase. There's likely to be some detainees who don't fit very neatly into any category.
Mm-hmm.
There also are likely to be some detainees, not a very large number, but some detainees who were picked up in connection with military operations in Afghanistan and are lawfully detainable as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that one thing that we could do to not only ultimately resolve the issue at Guantanamo, but to fix some of our detainee issues in Afghanistan, is to establish a NATO-led detainee operation in Afghanistan for both the detainees that are in Afghanistan and these small number of detainees that should be transferred out from back to Afghanistan from Guantanamo.
And certainly they should be in a secure facility, but not the kind of black hole that Bagram represents or has represented. We're going to take a break. Ken Goode from the Center for American Progress will continue with us. And next, I want to discuss this prospect of proposed preventive detention legislation as part of the plan to close Guantanamo and deal with the legacy of Bush and Cheney's barbarism. We'll continue in a moment. Your calls are welcome at 888-5-PETER-B. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Come here, Max. What's wrong? What? Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow. Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on 7 minutes in front of the hour. We're talking with Ken Goode at the Center for American Progress. As we mentioned, he wrote a blueprint for closing Guantanamo. published it about 6 months ago. And if you go to AmericanProgress.org, click on the Experts tab, find Ken Goode, G-U-D-E. That's a hot link that'll take you to a couple of pages. Just keep following it, and you'll find the plan and the article in The Guardian that we've been discussing. Now, Ken, the other important issue here gets into legal matters. And there are proposals to kind of supplant the military commissions that Bush dreamed up and scrap the what I call the Joe Stalin Detention and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006. But there is concern that we may need a preventive detention process or a legal process in order to hold people that we consider to be dangerous, but for one reason or another, we are unable to bring them to trial at that time. And in Britain, I believe that they actually expanded and then retracted the amount of time that they can hold a suspect. I think it went up to 45 days, and didn't they actually trim it back under protest?
30 days now, or 28 days, yeah.
Yeah. So to me, that could be reasonable as long as we have some transparency. I understand that not everything can be public when we're dealing with terrorist plots and all of these, you know, murky individuals. But fundamentally, we have to restore principles of justice to the American system and show not only ourselves but the world that we have broken away from the dark side that Dick Cheney embraced.
Well, I agree with that, and I think any move to establish a civil preventive detention regime in the United States would fall at the last hurdle in this effort to move away from the Bush-Cheney-Addington model of pseudo-justice. And I can't support any effort to do that. And I think that when we're talking about some of these proposals, most commonly referred to as national security courts or terror courts, what they essentially are is translating the procedures and the guidelines from the military commissions and bringing them into the United States and bringing them into our regular court system. And I don't see the logic behind trying to resolve the problems of Guantanamo, a lot of which are bound up in the military commission. A lot of them are bound up in trying to create new systems of justice. I don't see the logic in trying to fix all that by creating another new system of justice this time here in the United States. I don't think it's necessary. And I don't think it abides by the principles that we need to restore.
Mm-hmm. Well, I fully agree with you, and I hope that that position is one that is sustained. Now, let me ask you about your thoughts, because I'm encouraged by what we're hearing so far from President-elect Obama, and that the transition team is looking at ways to use executive orders to close Guantanamo as quickly as possible. But I'm also troubled by two advisors that seem to be moving into Obama's inner circle, notably John Brennan and Jamie Misick over at the CIA. Mel Goodman, who worked at the agency and has written a book called Failure of Intelligence, I talked with him yesterday, and he outlined the history, particularly of Brennan, who has been a top official at the CIA and is expected to have been involved in the torture regimes, the rendition, where we snatched people off the street and flew them to nations where we knew they would be tortured, and other of the black arts practiced at the CIA. Are you comfortable? Can you reconcile the stated plan to close Guantanamo with the idea that John Brennan might be a top foreign policy and intelligence advisor to Obama?
Well, I think we have to differentiate between the transition teams and the agency review teams and then who actually would be staffing an administration. I think that the emphasis from the transition so far has been to bring people into their transition agency review process who have experience in the agencies that they're looking at. And consequently, that sometimes draws in people who maybe somewhat ideologically opposed to what the new administration is going to do, but have the necessary experience. They know where the bodies are buried. They know how the agency functions.
Mm-hmm.
And that their role is going to be assisting the implementation of a new administration. That doesn't necessarily mean they are going to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
I am taking my direction on how the Obama administration is going to deal with issues like Guantanamo and torture from the president-elect. And he has said unequivocally and reiterated again on 60 Minutes this weekend that he intends to close Guantanamo and that we will not torture. And I think we certainly must be vigilant to ensure that he follows through on those budgets. But he has made it very clear that that's where he intends to take U.S. policy, and I think that at least at this point I'm inclined to believe it.
All right. Ken, a real pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for the work you're doing.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
All right. Ken Goode from the Center for American Progress. Again, his last name is G-U-D-E. We'll take a break and return and talk to another think tanker in Washington, Bob Borisage from the Campaign for America's Future. We'll talk bailouts, Detroit messes, and other issues next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I have made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Hats in hand on Capitol Hill.
The Detroit Three make their urgent case to Congress for a government loan. I'm John Hartshee.
Justice Department veteran Eric Holder is likely to get the top job.
He would be the nation's first African-American attorney general.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The leaders of the U.S. auto industry have spent the day on Capitol Hill warning that millions of jobs will be lost unless they get billions of dollars soon.
Three Detroit CEOs and UAW's president argued the world financial meltdown could kill their industry without a $25 billion government lifeline to help them survive until the economy picks up. Republican Senator Richard Shelby was skeptical the industry is rebuilding itself for the 21st century.
Why should we believe that they're capable of restructuring, considering their past?
GM's Rick Wagner argued the domestics are now matching the imports.
In terms of productivity, quality, and fuel economy, and by 2010 we'll match them on labor costs as well.
John Hartshee, CBS News, Washington.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, which isn't using the word veto, but says it's drawing the line for automaker bailouts at an existing $25 billion Energy Department program. Press Secretary Dana Perino makes it clear the administration won't go along with the Senate Democratic plan calling for an additional $25 billion for automakers from the bank bailout program.
Now this.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. Better yet, their 12-month CD has a 4.36% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money is wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
At the Treasury Department today, a group of clergy and members of their congregations delivered a petition calling on banks to modify mortgages to help homeowners facing foreclosure. Treasury Secretary Paulson wasn't there. He was facing fire from the House Financial Services Committee. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
Facing pressure from anxious Americans, lawmakers criticized Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson's handling of the bailout. He insisted,
"We've turned the corner in terms of stabilizing the system, preventing a collapse."
And he defended his decision not to use the bailout to buy troubled mortgages, saying it wasn't meant for that. Panel Chairman Barney Frank disagreed, citing chapter and verse.
Section 110, they shall implement a plan that seeks to maximize assistance for homeowners.
New York Democrat Gary Ackerman branded it bait and switch.
You seem to be flying a $700 billion plane by the seat of your pants.
Barry Bagnotto, CBS News, Washington.
At the same hearing, Sheila Bair, who heads the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, called for more aggressive action to stop foreclosure. She said the government is clearly falling behind the curve. In the Obama administration, CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports the top law enforcement job is likely to go to a Justice Department veteran.
CBS News has learned that longtime Washington insider Eric Holder is Barack Obama's choice to be Attorney General, and after some initial hesitation, Holder has now told the Obama team he wants the job. It's not a completely done deal yet. He's still being vetted by the Obama team's lawyers, but he's expected to pass that test easily.
If Mr. Obama asks Hillary Clinton to be his Secretary of State, Politico says it's not certain she would accept. She's said to be torn between that and staying in the Senate to work on health care. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, a Democrat turned independent, angered Senate Democrats by supporting his friend John McCain over Barack Obama. Today, the Democratic caucus approved a resolution condemning statements Lieberman made during the campaign, but allowing him to keep his chairmanship of the Homeland Security Committee.
It's a resolution of reconciliation and not retribution, and I appreciate it.
President-elect Obama let Democratic leaders know he's not interested in punishing Lieberman. Michelle Obama made a second visit to the White House today with her children after checking out several schools in Washington. Malia and Sasha Obama and their grandmother got to see where they'll be living for the next 4 years. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Experience the joy of designing your own ring at Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry.
That's Jared!
Let the experts at Jared show you how easy it is to create an engagement ring that reflects your own personal style. Choose from their popular settings in platinum or hundreds of settings in gold. Then select the perfect diamond from thousands at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes to create a ring that's yours and yours alone.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Guys, the men's store inside JCPenney makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out. Right now, get what you need before you start buying gifts for all the other people in your life. They've got a sale made just for you with great prices on all your favorite brands like Dockers, Izod, Van Heusen, Levi's, Haggard, St. John's Bay, and Stafford. Plus, get great deals on shirts, jackets, pants, jeans, and dress clothes. Style, quality, and price matter. Every day matters. JCPenney.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated.
Really?
And mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Coming up later this hour, Jason Leopold in his weekly visit to the Peter B. Collins Show. He's working on a number of breaking stories over there at pubrecord.org, and we'll chat about them. But first, it's time to check in on the bailout scene in Washington. We know they're taking care of business. But what about you and me? What about municipalities? What about state government? And what about Motown? Returning to our program today, Robert Borisage. He is co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. Their website with a lot of good info is ourfuture.org. Bob Borisage, been front and center in progressive politics for the last 20 years or more, and I'm glad to talk with you again. Bob, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. You had a conference today with some progressives, Lynn Woolsey, Barbara Lee, Keith Ellison, and others, talking about the economic situation and trying to address it from a bottom-up manner. What occurred there? What were some of the comments you heard?
Well, the basic argument, really led by the economist Jamie Galbraith, was the need for a substantial strategic and sustained fiscal expansion, that is spending of government money, to get this economy out of the recession that it's headed into. And if we do it in a strategic fashion, we can invest in things we need, like new energy and conservation, like rebuilding schools and a smart electric grid, like helping cities and states so that they don't make the devastating cuts that they're heading into. And get the economy moving. And so we pushed hard for people to start to think big, big enough to meet the size of the challenges we're facing.
Yeah. And I'm pulling it up right now, but I received an email from a listener earlier today that I thought really nailed it. And it's not coming up fast enough, so I'll just paraphrase. But what he said was, you know, Peter, you give money to Detroit, and it extends the inevitable. All right, it delays it, but it doesn't necessarily fix the problem. He said, if you give money to consumers and incentivize them to buy automobiles, then General Motors will have sales. And that's what they need right now. If you simply stave off the problems they have, we come back to it in 6 months or a year. But if we help reinvigorate the fundamental business on, you know, more progressive terms, higher mileage vehicles, and a real crash program is probably not the right word to use.
Well, we're headed into a crash.
A rush program to develop electrics and, you know, better hybrids, plug-in hybrids. Those are the kinds of things that could propel us forward in a win-win way.
Well, there is talk on the Hill about a couple different programs that have been suggested about giving people, you know, tax rebates to help finance cars or making the interest on auto loans tax exempt again. But the problem we've got is these auto companies aren't going to last. They're headed to General Motors says it's running out of money by the end of the year if nothing changes.
All right, let's get them a payday loan.
And exactly. And so, you know, you've got a choice to make. Senator President-elect Obama has said, look, we can't allow 3 million workers and their suppliers and the pensioners to face the unemployment, the cuts in health care and pensions, and the shutting of plants throughout the Midwest. We shouldn't risk that. We should give these guys a loan, but it shouldn't be a bridge loan to nowhere. It should be a bridge loan with really strict conditions, with an oversight board that changes leadership, that forces the rapid retooling you're talking about, that requires them to get their act together. But if we don't do that soon, and I mean literally while the Congress is here this week, we're going to be risking a much more serious situation throughout the Midwest and throughout the country.
Now, I hear what you're saying, Bob, but I'm having a hard time with some of this. Today, General Motors published a full-page ad, which I refer to as an extortion letter, in my San Francisco Chronicle. And they cite a series of worst-case scenario statistics that, you know, 1 in 10 Americans have some connection to the auto industry, 3 million jobs would be lost, another 2.5 million would follow, about a $300 billion hit to personal income and to tax revenues. But I feel that we're being fed false choices here. And Rick Wagoner and the executive team at General Motors have known this situation and their addressing of it for a long time. And so I'm not feeling that generous right now, and I feel that my pockets have been picked for the banks by Henry Paulson and the Congress. And so I really want to call a timeout here and say, okay, loan them some money to keep the company limping along, but we really have to address this fundamentally. And there's a great piece in today's New York Times about how the government of Great Britain pumped almost $16 billion American dollars into British Leyland. And the company went under eventually anyway. And so I think we have to be smart about this and not get hoodwinked and pressured into this kind of false choice process.
No, I agree with that. I think it's impossible to defend the leadership of the auto companies and the way they've had their heads in the sand for a long period of time. But I do think we have a fundamental choice to make as a society, and if we're not prepared to have a serious discussion about it now, and I think it probably is hard to do it with a lame duck Congress meeting for a week trying to pass continuing resolutions on the budget and get out of town, and huge numbers of them in their last weeks in Washington before they leave office. Mm-hmm. If we're not prepared to have a serious debate about it, then we ought to make the provisions that say we're not going to allow inalterable damage to be done while we decide what the devil we're going to do. Because I think at the end of the day, I was interested when the Japanese prime minister came in for the G20 meetings, and he was talking about the auto industry and what they did when they had their downturn. And he just assumed we'd step in and bail out our auto industry and keep them going, that it would be sort of an act of industrial folly for the United States not to do that. And, of course, that's what they had done. So
I think we've got to have
a discussion about it. I think you're right. You can't. There's absolutely no reason to trust these guys. And so it's easy to stand up and say, let's not act. But I think we shouldn't allow inalterable damage to be done while we make up our mind where we're going.
Okay, I'm sympathetic to that. But on the Japanese comparison, I think it doesn't really fit, because Japan has a centrally planned economy where the government and the banks work together. And they chose, for example, which car company was going to develop a luxury model in a certain time window. So, unless we're going to nationalize our auto industry and centralize it in the way Japan does, I'm not sure there's a real solid comparison there, Bob.
Well, I think we're headed toward, not to nationalization particularly, but we're certainly headed to the kinds of strictures on these auto companies, if they get our money, that they're going to be pretty uncomfortable with. We're going to demand real exchanges and real action, including an industrial policy for the investments we make. I can't imagine we're going to give money to General Motors and the other automobile companies without insisting on an oversight board that ends dividends, that polices what kinds of investments they make, that makes them get off the dime about investing in alternative cars, and forces real conditions for the money to be used, just as we did when we stepped in for Chrysler years ago. Then again, you had an oversight board that watched every dime and made sure the damn thing worked.
And Bob, if this were the first bailout to come along this fall, we might be more open to it. But they haven't even populated the oversight board for Hank Paulson's bailout money.
Yeah, no, Paulson seems pretty intent that he can give $250 billion straight up to the banks without any conditions, but he's not prepared to lend $25 billion to the Midwest with strict conditions. He's pretty clear about that.
Here's Jackie in Watsonville listening on KRXA. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi. Yeah, hi. I always lose my voice when I start talking to you.
Okay.
Listen, I know that the guys at the top of the auto industry, I know that they made egregious mistakes, okay? I realize that. And they should have gone with electric cars. They should have done a lot of things. And, of course, they were tied up. They're tied up with the oil companies. I realize that, too. But the thing is, I think the Republicans are absolutely slavering, awaiting to put down the auto industry. And one of the reasons, I think, is that I haven't heard mentioned, although I'm sure it was, it's because of the unions. They want to kill the unions. They hate the unions. Yeah. They don't want those people to be making that much money. Rich people make money. Middle-class people aren't supposed to make a lot of money. They're supposed to stay down in the doldrums and not make very much. And all the benefits that they receive and everything, and their retirement packages, they don't want those people to have that. They want to kill that union. If you lose 300,000 jobs? You're going to kill the union, for God's sake.
Well,
and that's what they want to do. That's what Reagan wanted to do.
You are correct, and that's why there's heavy resistance to a bankruptcy filing under Chapter 11. We saw what happened with the airlines, where they were permitted to break their contracts with unions and non-union employees over pension, health care, and wages and working conditions. But, Jackie, fundamentally, there isn't going to be a union job there if the company goes under.
I realize
How about
Chapter 11? What kind of rules would that have? Would that cover?
Well, Chapter 11 allows the management and the government, the court, to essentially set aside any agreements that burden the company. And Bob Borisaj, why don't you step in here? What are your thoughts about the prospect of a bankruptcy workout of General Motors?
Well, I think that's where we're headed if the Congress doesn't act, and it may be where we're headed even if it does act, depending on how severe this economic crisis is, and I assume it's going to be very severe. And so, you know, what happened here is that the it's not simply that General Motors and these companies were making the wrong cars. It's that when the financial system collapsed and people stopped getting easy credit for automobile loans, car sales collapsed across the board for every automaker, whether they were German or American or made big cars or small cars. It's the worst record in auto sales we've seen since, I think since the early 80s at the best, which was the worst recession since the Great Depression. So, you know, they're in trouble. And if this downturn lasts a long time and it takes a long time to get these the banks back on their feet, which seems to me to be quite likely, you may be facing very difficult, bankruptcy procedures or different kinds of Chapter 11 procedures for these companies. The problem they've got is if they go bankrupt, General Motors argues, and I think it probably is right, that, you know, people buying a car is a long-term deal. You're not going to want to buy a car from a company that may disappear on you, and so it will accelerate their decline.
I think there are ways to do that with warranties from third parties, but we'll pick up there as we continue. Thanks for your call, ma'am, and we'll continue with Bob Borisaj. Go to ourfuture.org and check out the website of the Campaign for America's Future. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veggin' Out, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and we'll return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise,
582-9149.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now, on Old Stage Road at Natividad Road, there is a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. There is an overturned vehicle in the road. On Highway 183 at Espinosa Road, we have a traffic hazard. There are heavy plastic boxes scattered in the traffic lanes. Watch out there. CHP is on the way. In Santa Cruz, we've got two hazards. One on northbound Highway 17, just south of Paso Tiempo Drive. CHP is on the way there. The other is on Crest Drive at Graham Hill Road. Traffic is currently being diverted from Crest to Graham Hill Road. That's traffic on AM 540. Have a great commute and stay with KRXA and the Peter B. Collins Show.
Check your roll bars, fasten your seatbelts. Detroit's headed for Dead Man's Curve. To see Rick Wagner roll over an SUV at Dead Man's Curve. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're talking with Bob Borisage, the co-director of the Campaign for America's Future. And, Bob, I was in Detroit about a month ago, and I turned on the Heritage radio station that has been broadcasting from the General Motors Tower, the Fisher Building, since 1925. And every hour they proudly proclaim that. WJR Detroit from the Fisher Building, whatever. And then they immediately go to the top of the hour news, brought to you by Detroit Toyota dealers.
God. It's come to that.
It really has. And so as I look at this, one of the examples I use here in the Bay Area, we had a Ford motor production plant in Fremont that shut down in the late 80s, and there was much gnashing and wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth. Well, 2 years later, Toyota moved in, created the new United Motors plant, NUMMI, and it has been a solid employer building good automobiles under the Toyota brand for over 10 years now. And while I know that many people are wedded to the big three as they are today, this is about change. And don't we have to get out of the way and let change occur and let the magic of capitalism work through the bankruptcy process?
Well, there's certainly an argument for doing that. The problem we've got is we have an economy that's headed into a deep and spiraling downturn. We've got a set of industrial and economic policies that have created greater and greater inequality in this country, driving down wages across the board, weakening unions, forcing workers to give up pensions, health care, and family wages as companies have put greater and greater pressure on them. So this is sort of an extreme version of this. And my own sense is transport's going to be a centerpiece of this economy. We ought to be making cars that are the cars of the future. We ought to be making sure that we don't throw our automobile industry out with the bathwater, and that we
isn't there a private sector solution? Can't T. Boone Pickens buy a stake in General Motors, tide them over, and help them create the natural gas vehicles that he says are the bridge to the next wave?
Well, the history of this is there are ways, I suppose, that you could get somebody to come in, wipe out under bankruptcy, wipe out all of the union contracts, drastically cut the pay, pensions, abandon the pensions, the healthcare benefits, etc., for the workers. I don't know why that's considered a success for our society. However, we'll have to pick up a lot of those costs. Taxpayers will pick them up on the downside, not the upside.
Yeah.
And we won't be creating models of industrial companies that can work in a way that allows us to sustain a middle class society in a global economy. And
let's squeeze in.
And that's what we've got to do.
Greta from Monterey, a quick comment. Go ahead, Greta. Greta, go ahead. I only have a few seconds. Go on.
The auto industry provided a lot of production. What would happen if we had a war and our steel industry and our auto industry were all gone?
Well, we don't have much of a steel industry left. What is the issue here, Bob, if we get into another war situation?
Well, right now we're going to have to import a significant portion of the chips that we need for missiles if we're in that kind of a war. But our military is now the most powerful in the world. I think in the short term we can, we don't have that kind of threat. The bigger long-term threat, I believe, is the next generation of innovation,
mm-hmm.
the next generation of products that you can sell across the world and be the basis of
Bob Borisov, sorry, I'm out of time. Thanks for joining me today.
Bye-bye.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I thought bigness was supposed to be good. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Congress has to decide whether to extend the bailout to American auto companies, and the outlook is not encouraging. Even Democrats like Banking Committee Chair Barney Frank, who would like to bail out the auto industry, was saying this morning that taxpayers aren't convinced that anything's working.
I have to say at this point that public confidence in what we have done so far is lower than anybody would have wanted to be, to the point where it could be an obstacle to further steps.
General Motors seems to be the key, and on Face the Nation, Republican Richard Shelby was against giving even one penny of tax money to GM.
There's not a bank in this country that would loan a dollar to these companies because they know their failures.
Of course, Senator Shelby is from Alabama, where the auto industry is just fine. Toyota, Honda, Hyundai, and Mercedes all have non-union, foreign-owned plants in his state. Meantime, the U.S. government debt keeps going up and now stands at close to $35,000 for every man, woman, and child. And yes, you might as well include the children because they're the ones who'll be paying it. So many questions. If Americans won't spend their money to buy American cars, should Congress spend their tax money so American car companies can keep building them? And if they do that, do the cars just pile up unbought? And what is it with this concept of companies too big to fail? If a company is too big to fail, then maybe it's too big to be allowed to get too big in the first place. Now this.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn.
Dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore legs. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pop prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. In a moment, Jason Leopold joins me from the Public Record. Jason Leopold is the intrepid investigative reporter who covered Enron, worked for the Dow Jones News Service, the Los Angeles Times, truthout.org, and now he's at his own shop. It's called The Public Record, and their website is pubrecord.org. Jason, how you doing today?
Hey, Peter. Good to be with you.
Good to talk with you. And
interesting day.
Many things going on, and I want to talk about them. But first up, I just wanted to direct people to the front page of today's New York Times, because there was an interesting story, not specifically about the Public Record, but about the rise of independent web-based news organizations. And I think it's a very exciting trend, particularly as we see newspapers hitting the wall financially because they can't get their 40% margins anymore. And they respond by slashing the reportorial staffs and cutting the amount of news that's actually in the paper.
Exactly. It's actually a really great report. And I learned a lot of things from it. I mean, particularly just some of these other news organizations that are out there that, you know, adopted the nonprofit model more or less, you know, sustain themselves by tapping into, you know, donors, much like National Public Radio and PBS does, or public television, and, you know, just having the opportunity to go out and do some investigative work, you know, and I like to think that that's exactly what, you know, we at the Public Record have been doing, and, you know, we're young, we're around for 6 months. We're just trying to really pave the way for the future of media coverage. I mean, one thing that I have been talking about these past few weeks is that, you know, with Obama now as the president-elect, you know, many people who, you know, started their online news organization, when Bush arrived, you know, that was really at the infancy of the blogosphere, of just online news in general. And, you know, now how it became so polarized, but now how are people going to go out and cover, you know, a Democratic administration?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be able to hold them, you know, as accountable as we did, you know, the Bush administration, or, you know, simply just sort of sweep it under the rug. And, you know, that's where I think that some of these news organizations, and I'd like to think that the Public Record in particular, you know, we become, we separate ourselves from all that because, you know, I just want to cover the news.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, we really need a new model. And I think that, you know, the certainly the nonprofit model really allows us to just focus on the story.
Yeah. One of the interesting.
Focus on the story and the news.
Not to promote any kind of quasi-competitor, but
yeah.
One of the interesting new arrivals on the scene this year is ProPublica, which is funded by Herb and Marion Sandler. They are progressives who owned a bank here in the Bay Area, sold it at the top of the market, and they are offering their philanthropy by hiring some top-notch journalists and funding independent investigations. And this is
$10 million endowment for them, and that's just outstanding.
Yeah, and it is trying to plug the gap in investigative reporting. And not only that, we have a serious decline in hard-hitting enterprise reporting, but we also have seen, and I just offer these two examples, the coverage of the Bush administration and the coverage of our economic problems. Both the media has been so weak on. When we talk about the economy, the business sections of newspapers have become simple cheerleaders for overpaid CEOs, hyping their stocks and drooling over the stock options that they're granted. But the kind of critical reporting that we used to see has gone out the window, and so much of it is just rah, 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 this economy is great, and deregulation, who needs government? And we've really hit the wall here, and I do believe that the business reporting, you came out of Dow Jones, has really declined in the last few years, and it's one of the reasons why the oil companies were able to aggressively raise prices this year. And basically, it was their greed that I believe took us to the brink of this economic disaster.
I totally agree. In fact, I can tell you just from my experience over at Dow Jones that, you know, when the market is on a downward spiral, if you will, you really are not encouraged to sort of perpetuate that. And what I mean is that, writing stories or having an entire business section based on, negative news really is seen by the editorial staff as affecting the market. And I can tell you particularly with many of the stories that I wrote on the California energy crisis, I mean, we literally moved the market because these energy stocks at the time were just, they were going through the roof. I mean, we're talking about, $70 to $80 per share on a company that now, trades, in single digits.
Yeah.
And each time that I wrote a story, and that was basically where I was, what I was attracted to is sort of exposing the corruption. But it did have a major impact on the market. And, the editorial, the editors that were in charge would really, we had to find we had to be bullish, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's how we had to act, and that was very much encouraged because of how much our coverage drove the market.
Well,
and you're seeing, in newspapers right now that the business section, and I can tell you just in the LA Times in my area, is so thin. We're talking just a few pages.
Right.
So.
And they've taken out the stock tables in most papers now. You got to get them online.
And by the way, that was another major scandal is that when we were at the, when I was over at Dow Jones, the traders would, they would inflate their numbers on certain, not on the stocks, but on the way that futures contracts were trading at or.
Let me just add one other thing that I'm going to make a prediction here that may or may not turn out to be true. But your reporting and that of others on Enron led to the prosecution of Jeff Skilling and other top officials of the company that they plundered. I don't expect to see anything like that with the Wall Street meltdown. There seems to be no stomach for investigating and indicting any number of people who helped create this mess, including the rating agencies that took junk and rated it AAA, people who ran the investment banks who paid themselves huge bonuses right up through last year as they could see the house of cards crumbling, and now they're going to hold on to all that money. They've generously announced that they're not going to pay themselves bonuses this year, Jason. Isn't that delightful?
They still have quite a bit of change, if you will, from even though they ran these companies into the ground. But I could tell you that you're not going to. First of all, we don't even know where any of this money went. We still don't know how much. We're talking trillions of dollars. Bloomberg News Service which is actually, I have to say, one of the few business they cover the world in a sense. But when it comes to business reporting, they actually do a pretty good job. They filed a lawsuit, Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. It could be about 10 days ago.
Yeah.
To try to get some information as to, where is this money going? But you don't get to see that type of coverage in a number of other papers. I mean, look, back in 2000 when, even 2001, we had Tyco, we had Adelphia, we had Enron, and we saw some real hard-hitting, coverage of these business scandals. And, that led to the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, where, these companies had to, verify their accounting and their finances. But what happened over the years, Peter, is that the Securities and Exchange Commission, they entered into settlements with these companies. And this goes directly to what we're seeing right now in the subprime meltdown and everything that sort of had this ripple effect. They entered into settlements. They did not. They did not pursue, criminal violations. We see something with Mark Cuban and Martha Stewart. Mark Cuban.
We're going to talk about that next hour. He's making the allegation that because he gave some money to the guys who produce Loose Change, challenging the 9/11 myths, that somebody turned him into the SEC, and that's produced this insider trading charge.
You know what? I have to tell you that that may sound like conspiracy, and he certainly is a hot-headed, if that's the right way to describe it, individual. And perhaps he should have been a little bit more, he became a target.
Mm-hmm.
And I could certainly talk to you for hours about that, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is that, the SEC has not pursued the bigger, crimes that are happening. I mean, and when I say crimes, I don't, nobody's been convicted. But look, Halliburton had to restate their earnings. There are companies that were involved in Iraq that, inflated their quarterly reports and their earnings, mischaracterize some things in there. And instead of actually seeing that press release, instead of seeing anyone do the perp walk, which was a big thing back in, the beginning of this millennium,
right.
The perp walk, what we have is these settlements that are taking place. And basically it's more or less, sweep it under the rug. We'll get, you don't serve on the board of a company. But the scandals continue.
Mm-hmm.
And, just getting right back to where we started with this is that, the stuff that the stories that I've been covering, whether it's business, I mean, I did a lot of reporting on BP, British Petroleum,
right.
when things were going on with this company. Just in the past few years, I would not be able to write any of this or report any of this if I were at a bigger publication, if they were to have me, So
mm-hmm.
it's just that's why it's so important for people who are listening to your show, who are, getting their news off online to realize that, if you want to truly understand what's happening, the inside, where is the future of it?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, if I can just add one thing, one of my favorite news sites is a site in San Diego called The Voice of San Diego. I was happy to see that they wrote about that in that article. I mean, this was an outfit that exposed all the corruption that took place in that city. That almost led to the bankruptcy. Whereas the San Diego Union Tribune, the big newspaper, did nothing. They were sleeping on the job.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break here. We'll return with Jason Leopold, get the update on Joe Lieberman and the vote to strip him of his chairmanship of the Homeland Security Committee. We'll also touch on some of those elections that haven't been resolved, like Minnesota and Alaska, and anything else that Jason's reporting on. We'll get to that next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh,
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Taking a look at southbound 101 just north of Echo Valley Road, there is a Chevy 110 pickup truck parked in lane number 2, so be careful there. Also, on Highway 183 at Espinosa Road, there are large plastic crates on the right shoulder at the Espinosa Slough Bridge. CHP is on the scene. Moving on to Santa Cruz, on southbound Highway 1 on the 41st Avenue off-ramp, there is a pedestrian in the road. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, on Highway 152 just west of Fifield Road, there is a moving roadway hazard and there is granite in lane number 1. On northbound 101, just north of Bettleby Y Road, there is a trash can in lane number 2. That's traffic on AM 540. Have a great afternoon and stay tuned to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Cornucopia Landscaping in Santa Cruz is a complete design, installation, and maintenance company. Cornucopia Landscaping specializes in water-saving gardens which retain a lush appearance. You can have fruit trees, grapevines, fresh vegetables, and many beautiful ornamental plants while using very little water. In fact, an entire cornucopia landscaping garden sips only as much water in a season as a lawn of equal size gulps down in 1 week. Drip irrigation is the key to a water-saving garden. Are you looking for a beautiful flagstone pathway? Cornucopia Landscaping builds decks, patios, arbors, fences, retaining walls, planter boxes, and many other custom-built wooden structures. Serving Santa Cruz County since 1996. For more information or consultation, call Davis at 831-335-1209. That's 335-1209. That number again is 335-1209.
I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too? Then there's a pair of us. Don't tell. They'd advertise. You know. That's Emily Dickinson. And this is Barbara Mossberg, your host of the Poetry Slowdown, inviting you to join me in celebrating this little recluse whose whole life was largely spent in her upstairs bedroom. I say largely because it was a huge life, enormous, outsized. I say whole life because it was epic, heroic, tragic, comic, witch and clown and lover, bursting with pain and joy, an intense life, a live birthday performance, December 13th at 4 p.m. at the Cherry Center in Carmel, and here on KRXA 540 a.m., December 7th at 3 p.m., and on December 14th at noon. What her life means to the world. To you and me around the world with Emily Dickinson as my traveling companion, this quirky nobody who never left her room, so they say.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 10 minutes in front of the hour. Jason Leopold, my guest, from the Public Record on the web at pubrecord.org. And right at the top of the page for this nonprofit, there's a window where you can make a contribution. And I encourage you, I know times are tight, and people have been helping me out, and I'm very grateful for that. We're able to keep our show on the air, and we're projected all the way through the first couple of months of 2009. And for rocky economic times like that, I'm feeling much better. But if you can help out Jason Leopold and the Public Record, I would be very appreciative. They do a lot of great work. And when you hear Jason here every week, you're hearing the kind of enterprise reporting that he gets into that is woefully missing from most media outlets these days. So log on to pubrecord.org, and if you can support this nonprofit, I will really appreciate it. Now, Jason, you just whispered in my ear during the commercial break an indictment of Dick Cheney?
I have to say that it's just a headline that just was released. I don't have any other information. You may want to check it out, but it says a grand jury in Texas indicted Dick Cheney. Don't know what that's for. News Channel 5.tv it was an AP report.
All right.
I don't know if it's some sort of joke, some sort of local community takes action, but
you sure know how to get my attention. One of the stories breaking today is that Senator Obama is sending pretty clear signals that he's not too interested in investigating the breaches of the Constitution and statute by the preceding administration.
Right.
And I hope that progressives and human rights activists will keep the pressure on. We must not just turn the page and ignore what has occurred, or that legacy will live on. And a president after Obama, or even in a worst case, an Obama who slips into the dark side, could use some of the same tactics, signing statements, the aggressive expansion of presidential power, and we cannot let that stand. So I urge everyone to contact your elected officials and push them, let them know that we called for change, but not denial of the wrongdoing that has occurred over the last 8 years.
Yeah, you know, first of all, it is not so much of a surprise to me, given that what we have seen, and certainly with Obama, too, by the way. I mean, you know, I have said this, and I'll keep saying it. Obama is still a politician, you know, and he's still going to, act as a politician. And certainly we saw that when he, you know, caved in on the warrantless domestic surveillance and voted in favor of that. You know, he went back on, you know, what he had previously said.
Yeah.
But we have also talked about, Peter, that, you know, the Democrats have, you know, failed at every turn to really, you know, get their hands dirty. And it would not be a surprise that if they, you know, went into this new administration, into the, certainly the 111th Congress and a new administration and sort of just, you know, backed off a bit on this. But I do think that, you know, there needs to be enormous pressure to certainly just, you know, hold them accountable. I do think that they will open up the vault in a sense, and we will probably learn a lot more of how widespread the constitutional violations and you know the crimes of this administration how far reaching it was that they went. But you know whether they hold anyone accountable, I think that's what really needs to happen.
Well, and Jason, this is the perfect segue into the secret ballot vote of the Democratic caucus in the Senate today to forgive and forget about Joe Lieberman.
Yeah, and look at the numbers. Look at the vote tally, 42-13.
Wow.
There were only, you know, just a dozen people. A dozen, senators saying it's to strip them of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just remarkable, that, you know, they would allow that to happen. And granted that, you know, Obama in his, you know, Lincoln-esque sort of, you know, team of rivals, let's bring them all in.
Right.
I more or less think of it more like, from The Godfather, keep your friends close, enemies closer. But this is outrageous. And I wrote a story just showing that, you know what? He hasn't done anything as the chairman of the Government Affairs Committee.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, first of all, you should be stripping him of his chairmanship. He hasn't done a thing since he had that gavel. And the fact that he gets to keep it for just political reasons, you know, is shameful.
It's
outrageous.
Well, and here's the thing that I look at. You know, we saw what happened to Bill Clinton when he said, I'm going to forgive and forget about Iran-Contra. That was last year's news, and I want to move forward. And then he got slammed for 8 years by the Republican attack machine.
Exactly.
And Obama is hoping for a different outcome here. But I'm a cynic here, and I believe that he's going to hit the buzzsaw sooner or later, and that this post-partisan, bipartisan approach is not going to work because he's not going to find the same love returned from the right.
I think you hit it right on the nail right on the head. And you, by the way, you know, your regular guest, I interviewed her last week, Melanie Sloan.
Yeah, she's coming up next.
She made a good point. You know, perhaps, you know, they'll let him keep the chairmanship, which they did, and he'll show that, hey, I don't like Obama that much. So now I'm going to start investigating the White House Obama in it.
Well, the other piece here is that by essentially not disciplining him for being the latest Zell Miller or Benedict Arnold, take your pick, they have given something to him, but I don't believe they've extracted anything in return. And so there's no guarantee that he will be the 60th vote when they really need him. He votes with the Republicans on all of the most critical issues that come before the Senate.
Exactly. And the critical issues that are that this administration is going to be dealing with, you know, in the first 12 months, will be the Iraq War, which he doesn't vote on, which he doesn't vote with the Democrats. I mean, that's going to be crucial. And anything that has to do with, you know, domestic spying, civil liberties, interrogation, you know, Joe Lieberman votes in lockstep with the Republicans.
Yeah. Jason, about a minute remaining. The latest in Alaska, Mark Begich still up?
It looks like it not only is he up, he's you know, he's up by almost 2,500 votes.
Nice.
In fact, he had a lead on Friday of 1,022 votes. They're counting the rest of the ballots today. There were 24,000 remaining. They've got they went through 16,000. He now leads Stevens by 2,374 votes.
Does that beat a recount or there's no runoff, but is there a recount called for?
You know, there will likely be a recount. But that will only be if Stevens or Begich, you know, asks for one. And obviously, mm-hmm. if Begich is the winner, he won't.
All right.
But,
and briefly, in Minnesota, Franken and Coleman?
That's heated. That is getting ugly by the day. The state board, the canvassing board, certified the results, but Franken filed a legal brief saying that, you know, you need to include these absentee ballots that were rejected, absentee ballots rejected for, you know, unmatched signatures, issues like that. And right now they're not including them. They'll consider it, but, you know, the Coleman mm-hmm. widened his lead by 9 votes.
We'll keep an eye on it. Thank you, Jason Leopold, Public Record.
Thanks, Peter.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works. Does your...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I don't think giving these guys $25 billion right now is a smart idea.
University of Maryland economist Peter Morici, a leading critic of the U.S. auto industry, sat beside executives of GM, Ford, and Chrysler at a congressional hearing and argued against their bid for a $25 billion bailout. Morici said it would be better in the long run to let them file for bankruptcy.
Sooner or later, this industry has to go through the ultimate reorganization that brings its cost structure absolutely in line with its competition.
But GM boss Rick Wagner said the carmakers can't be blamed for the tenuous position they're in.
What exposes us to failure now is the global financial crisis, which has severely restricted credit availability and reduced industry sales to the lowest per capita levels since World War II.
If they fail, he said, it would cause a catastrophic collapse of the U.S. economy. Another hearing today looked at how the Bush administration is using the $700 billion financial rescue package. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
Lawmakers bristled as Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson argued the bailout should not be used to directly help homeowners facing foreclosure.
This is different than the original investment intent.
New York Democrat Gary Ackerman accused the administration of backing mortgage aid to win votes for the bailout bill and then backtracking.
It seems to be the second largest bait and switch scheme history has ever seen. Second only to the reasons given us to vote for the invasion of Iraq.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
CBS News has learned that President-elect Barack Obama wants Washington insider Eric Holder to be his attorney general. And correspondent Chip Reed reports Holder has decided to take the job.
Initially, Eric Holder, who was deputy attorney general, the number two position in the Justice Department at the for the last few years of the Clinton administration, initially he was reluctant, a bit hesitant, because, you know, instead of the rough and tumble of politics which he experienced then, he's been experiencing the comfort of a big law firm.
The vetting process is still underway. If confirmed, Holder would be the first black person to serve as the nation's top law enforcement official.
The first spacewalk of Shuttle Endeavour's mission to the International Space Station just ended. Let's go live to the Kennedy Space Center and CBS News correspondent Peter King.
They spent nearly 7 hours outside.
Did a great job today. It was awesome, EVA. Welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back. Yeah, in spite of a little hiccup there, major hiccup, I think we did a good job out there.
Heidi Stefanishin Pfeiffer and Steve Bowen did everything they needed to. The big job, starting a repair job on a damaged motor joint in one of the space station's solar wing assemblies. The hiccups, well, they included a grease gun, which went off prematurely, in a tool bag which floated away from Piper. Mission managers are trying to figure out what effect, if any, that'll have on the next three spacewalks. Bill?
The Dow had its ups and downs today, ending at with a 151-point gain at 84.24. The NASDAQ up 1 point to 1483. The price of oil fell 56 cents to 54.39 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Deck the office with lots of laptops, fa la 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 la.
Tis the season to be mobile, fa la 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 la.
That's the sound of happy employees rejoicing over Dell Simplify the Season. Shop easy, buy easy, and pay easy on workplace essentials, including Microsoft products.
Don, we now have great computers, fa la 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 la.
I'll tell Bob and you'll tell Carol, fa la 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 la.
Spread the word to everyone in your office. Big savings, like the new 15-inch widescreen Vostro laptop. Starting from $599, it's both affordable and reliable. Or for flexibility, mobility, and performance, you can't beat the Dell Latitude, starting at $699. Both laptops come loaded with Windows Vista Business for greater productivity.
Watch the synergy rise before us. La 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 la.
Bring joy to your working world today by visiting Dell.com/radio. That's Dell.com/radio. Prices do not include taxes and other fees. Limited time. U.S. only. Subject to change. Carolers not included.
The big growth in retailing has been online, but even that's changing in this troubled economy. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
We're still shopping online, but sales are not increasing like they once were.
This growth rate is, in fact, the lowest growth rate that we've seen since we started tracking e-commerce back in 2001.
With retailers so desperate to make profits this holiday season, online sales are crucial. ComScore's Jan Fulghani says their websites must be competitive.
I think anything they can do that adds value to the consumer, whether that's saving time or making the shopping experience more pleasant, that's also important.
And free shipping, possibly the most important of all. Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
Polar bears live in a harsh environment and few live to be more than 20 years old. They do better in captivity. The world's oldest polar bear, an orphan from the Russian Arctic named Debbie, lived at the zoo in Winnipeg, Canada. Yesterday she died of old age. She was 42. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Looking for a market-proof vest? Try this on for size. A market-proof CD from GMAC Bank. It's FDIC insured. And better yet, their 12-month CD has a 4.36% annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available, and it guarantees your money makes money. Lock in now. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-246-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and feel confident knowing your money is wearing body armor. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
An official message from Medicare.
Today I found out that my drug plan's monthly premium changed. So I compared other plans and found similar coverage at a better price.
Now's the time to review and compare Medicare prescription drug plans. From November 15th to December 31st, you can even change your plan. Call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE. Or visit Medicare.gov and use the plan finder to see options in your state. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're heading into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments welcome, 888-5-PETER-B. But first...
But she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner. She always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner. She's a lady. Oh, 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 she's a lady. Talking about that little lady. And the lady is mine.
Oh, Tom Jones singing us into the Melanie Sloan segment this week. She's a lady, but if you take her to dinner, you just better not charge it to a lobbyist, because she's the unofficial sheriff there in Washington, D.C., the executive director of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Hi, Melanie.
Hey, can that be my theme song? I love that song.
You do? Well, I'll be happy to assign that. I'll try to remember every time you come on the show. You're not a big Tom Jones fan, are you?
Well, you know, not a big Tom Jones fan, but I certainly remember that song from, you know, my childhood, and that song moves.
It does. I mean, for a geezer like him, I always have enjoyed that tune, I have to say. Well, you are, once again, working on some very interesting cases there at CREW, and one of them involves the senator from Georgia who beat Max Cleland 6 years ago in a very ugly race amidst charges of scurrilous commercials and tampered voting machines, those sorts of things. And Saxby Chambliss did not win re-election on November 4th. He was just shy by half a percentage, and Georgia law requires a runoff if nobody gets 50% plus one. So he is up for a runoff the first Tuesday in December. I think that's December 2nd. And the campaign continues there in Georgia. John McCain has been in to try to support him. I'm not really sure that's the most helpful figure to bring in. But Saxby Chambliss, who is an attorney, has made some rather unusual claims about the speech or debate clause. And this is something you and I have discussed in the case of Dollar Bill Jefferson and other issues that come up in Washington, where officials try to claim essentially immunity from any kind of investigation or prosecution because of the constitutional protection of speech and debate.
Right. First, can we just start off with that Saxby Chambliss may be one of the most vile senators to ever come through, given those ads he ran against Max Cleland, morphing him into Saddam Hussein, given that Max Cleland lost three limbs fighting for his country?
Yeah. Yeah, I fully agree with you there.
That's a given. We'll start there. But yes, so beyond that, he's also now a bad lawyer on top of everything else. He doesn't understand the speech or debate clause, which, you know, given that he's a senator and this issue seems to come up a lot, you'd think he'd know a little better before he'd start claiming its protections. But as we've talked about, the speech or debate clause protects a member of Congress from having any legislative activity used against them. So, for example, something that they've said or did on the House floor or in a committee hearing, that can't be used against them. Well, okay. In Georgia, there is a lawsuit against the victims of families of victims who died in a fire at the Imperial Sugar Factory, and it was actually even big news. I remember seeing it on CNN when the plant blew up and then had a massive fire. And Saxby Chambliss apparently met with a bunch of the plaintiffs in that case to try to dissuade them from suing.
Ooh.
Yes, and it seems that he may have done that on behalf of Imperial Sugar, because he also held a hearing at which he attacked an Imperial Sugar vice president of operations who said that there were safety problems in the plant. Now, Mr. Chambliss is going to be immune from answering any questions about the hearing or why he held the hearing or the preparation for the hearing and whether or not he got that information from Imperial Sugar to try and attack this vice president in order to save Imperial Sugar in a lawsuit. But he absolutely is not immune from questions about why he was trying to dissuade plaintiffs from suing Imperial Sugar. Because talking to constituents, talking to people in Georgia, that is the kind of constituent activity, constituent services that the Supreme Court has very specifically held are not legislative activities protected by the speech or debate clause.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the grease or the glue that connects an elected official to voters. Yeah, you call a senator's office and say, I got a problem with immigration, I got a problem with the IRS, and they help you, and the loyalty that you feel then might cause you to vote for that candidate next time they're up for re-election.
Right, and none of that is considered speech or debate activity. Other things that are not include if a senator calls another government agency to talk about something the agency is doing, or gives a speech to a corporation or a university. None of that is speech or debate material. But Saxby Chambliss is basically trying to say that anything he does merely because he's a senator is protected by the clause and gives him a blanket immunity, which, by the way, would give him greater immunity than any federal judges or even people in the executive branch.
Very interesting. Do we know if Imperial Sugar has ever donated to a Saxby Chambliss campaign?
Shockingly, they have.
Oh.
Who knows? I have not checked the amounts, but you bring up a good point, and I will know that by the time we next speak.
So he wasn't carrying water, he was carrying sugar.
Exactly, and it really looks like he has done everything he can to try and undermine this lawsuit, which there were many people who were killed and seriously injured at this factory when it blew up.
And, Melanie, a crew issued an educational press release for Senator Chambliss. Has he responded to your tutorial?
No, he hasn't, but I was hoping at least since he as a lawyer doesn't remember the speech or debate clause, and apparently his lawyers aren't teaching him about this, I thought that if we could help him out with this, at least all the folks who are writing about this in Georgia would understand that when Saxby Chambliss just says, I'm protected by the speech or debate clause, they might at least question it, because it's a scary, big constitutional concept that people don't necessarily understand. And so if your lawyer senator is telling you this, you might think, oh, that must be true.
Yeah. Time for our dollar bill theme song and updates.
Hey, dollar, dollar bill. Story, small, francs, yens, and pounds. I rock chopped up sounds from Devastown.
William Jefferson, a Louisiana congressman, is still in the House. He is likely to win a runoff in Louisiana on December 6th. But he is also somebody who's used the speech and debate clause to try to defend what is, at least on the face of it, pretty indefensible behavior. And that is that he was investigated by the FBI. They tried to give him a payoff in marked bills. He was found with $90,000 of that cash stored in a freezer. And he has been working through his lawyers to delay the investigation and prosecution. But the speech and debate clause was an issue when the FBI raided his congressional office on Capitol Hill on a Saturday night, what, about a year and a half ago?
Yeah, I think at least 2 years ago now. It was in the summer.
Yeah. And so what is the latest on Jefferson and his legal issues?
Well, good news for the American people who are opposed to congressional corruption. The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals has just held that the indictment against Mr. Jefferson can stand. Mr. Jefferson had argued that the U.S. attorney in Virginia had obtained the indictment illegally because they had gone to the grand jury with speech or debate clause material, that they had presented this legislative activity to the grand jury to get the indictment. And the Fourth Circuit soundly and resoundingly rejected that argument, and they said, because although there might have been speech or debate material that went to the grand jury, because the prosecutors will not need to use any such material in order to prove the case against Mr. Jefferson, the indictment could stand and they weren't going to look behind the indictment. So what that's basically saying is Mr. Jefferson isn't being charged with anything that he did in a committee or on the House floor.
Right.
He's being charged with trying to help secure deals in Africa in return for money. He had a lot of connections with African leaders, and he was pulling levers with those people in exchange for example, this $90,000. And this was happening in Nigeria and Ghana. And the Fourth Circuit said that that's the kind of activity that is not, in order to prove that he was doing that, that doesn't require the prosecutors to use legislative activity. This is the kind of thing that's outside legislative activity. So that's very good news. That means that the case against Mr. Jefferson will now go forward, and we should expect to see his trial start next year. And hopefully he might not even be a member of Congress by then.
Well, a news article I have here says that it actually starts 4 days before the Louisiana runoff. He is supposed to start a trial in Virginia on the 2nd of December, and the runoff is 4 days later.
Well, it's really hard to say how these election year politics go. I mean, obviously, Mr. Jefferson has won re-election now twice despite an indictment, which is shocking as it is. And we're still wondering what's going to happen with Ted Stevens in Alaska, although happily things are looking worse and worse for him.
Yeah, we got a 2,500 vote margin, and there are some ballots remaining, but they appear to come from Democratic strongholds. So it does appear that Senator Stevens will be able to spend more time with his lawyers.
Which would certainly be good. And, you know, it's interesting, Jim DeMint from South Carolina, Republican senator from South Carolina, has agreed to put off his motion to expel Mr. Stevens to wait and see for sure if Mr. Stevens will lose, because now he thinks he's going to.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, Melanie, thanks for joining us today, and I appreciate the work you're doing.
We'll talk to you next week, Peter.
All right. That's Melanie Sloan, Crew, Citizens for, I always get that wrong, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, their website, citizensforethics.org. We're going to take a break in a moment here and head into the free speech zone. And one of the topics I want to discuss with you today is the curious case of Mark Cuban. Now, I don't follow basketball, and I really don't know that much about him. But on Monday, the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, filed a civil suit against Mr. Do you say Cuban or Cuban? Saying that he committed insider trading, sold shares of a small internet search company just before its price fell in 2004. Now, this is a guy who's worth about $6 billion. And in the case before us, the complaint is for $750,000. Chump change to Mark Cuban. Now, what Cuban says is that he is being selectively prosecuted by the SEC because he gave money to the producers of the film about the 9/11 myth called Loose Change. And we've had the Loose Change producer on our program. His name escapes me right now. I think it's a powerful film, and I think everybody should see it. Because while it doesn't answer a lot of the conspiracy or theory questions about what really happened, it blows huge holes in the official story that we've been told about the events of 9/11. So there's an email trail between a Jeffrey B. Norris, an SEC lawyer based in Fort Worth, and representatives of Mr. Cuban. In it, Mr. Norris essentially says that the funding of Loose Change, a vicious and absurd documentary that posits that President Bush planned the demolition of the World Trade Center as a pretext for going to war against Iraq. That's a First Amendment issue. Mark Cuban or Cuban is entitled to put his money behind any kind of speech he wants. And this Norris fellow continued in the letter, if this upsets you, I wonder how George Bush feels. I assume that Chris Cox, the head of the SEC, would view your involvement with Loose Change much as I do. After all, he served his country as a Republican congressman from Orange County for 20 years before he was appointed to the SEC by Bush. This really stinks. The other thing that I would put forward is that Mark Cuban or Cuban is the funder of HDNet. That's where Dan Rather now produces television news. I think it's called Dan Rather Reports. Either one of those could be reasons for this selective prosecution, as it appears, by the SEC. I want to hear your comments. My lines are open right now. 888-5-PETER-B. Any subject, any viewpoint, call me from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way and the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers. For alcohol and drug treatment, go to www.sunstreetcenters.com. Go to
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani.
Join us Saturday
from 7 to 9 p.m.
for Good Vibrations Tools for Transformation.
Together, we'll transform your relationships,
communication,
health,
and the ability to reach your goals and dreams.
Good Vibrations.
Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Good evening, this is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now on the Del Monte Boulevard on-ramp to northbound Highway 1, we have a traffic hazard with no further details. Otherwise, traffic is looking pretty good on all the roads and highways. Have a safe commute. In weather, tonight we'll have areas of low clouds and dense fog. Lows are going to be in the upper 40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow we'll have widespread low clouds and dense fog in the morning. Highs will be near 60. Right now, here are some temperatures. Monterey is 52 and partly cloudy. Salinas is 57 and hazy. Santa Cruz is 52 and mostly cloudy. That's traffic and weather on KRXA. Peter B. Collins will be right back.
Banks and banks on humming machinery. I've never seen so many knobs. We're going to have to do something, Charlie. Try pushing that button now. No? How about that one? No, not that one either. I know. I'll try pushing this one. Put my hat for you. There's a good fella.
No, no, no. Don't push that one. Don't push that one. Oh, my God.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 24 minutes after the hour. It's the free speech zone. We check the First Amendment still working. The NSA still monitoring. Ah, but don't let it worry you. Give me a call. Soul free. It's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You want to talk about bailouts? You want to talk about the Mark Cuban or Cuban issue about insider trading and whether trying to find the truth about 9/11 has led to an SEC lawsuit against this billionaire? I find that very troubling. And maybe the First Amendment isn't really in full effect. 888-573-8372. I also referenced earlier today a full-page ad that appeared in the San Francisco Chronicle, and I know at least one other newspaper, daily in Memphis, Tennessee, because I got an email from a listener there. And I consider it an extortion letter. It's a very extreme scenario recitation of the problems General Motors faces. And this full-page ad tries to persuade us that we should call our members of Congress and demand that they give a bailout to General Motors and Detroit in general. And they even supply a toll-free number, and I want you to listen as I dial in to see how sophisticated this is. No humans are involved. 866-927-2233. It is the GM Facts and Fiction Hotline.
Support for the domestic auto industry hotline.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Please press 1 if you are a GM employee or retiree, or press 2 if you are a concerned American.
What do you think I am? I guess I'm a concerned American. 2.
Thank you. In a moment, we'll connect you to your members of Congress.
So this is really interesting. They have this automated service, and they're going to connect me with my member of Congress after they pump me full of their talking points, the same propaganda that's in this full-page ad that I call an extortion letter.
Employed in a service that is related to the U.S. auto industry, and almost 4% of the U.S. gross domestic product is auto-related. The impact of a collapsed auto industry would be far-reaching and could result in the loss of more than 3 million American jobs. An investment in domestic automakers is an investment to rebuild our nation's economic and competitive strength.
No, it's throwing good money after bad.
We also encourage you to personalize your message by sharing how this crisis has or could potentially impact you and your family. One last note before we connect your call.
So
when you reach your legislator's office,
here,
your call will likely be answered by a staff member or placed directly into voicemail.
Yeah, right.
Either way, please explain that you are a constituent and have an urgent message for your member of Congress. If you get a busy signal or no answer, please try again until you are successful at having your voice heard. In a moment, you will be asked to enter your five-digit home zip code, followed by the pound sign.
All right, can we get
to
them?
To your members of Congress.
I don't have all day.
The automated system will match you to your legislators.
I understand.
And connect you to their Capitol Hill offices, toll-free.
Let's get to it.
Thank you for your urgent action and ongoing support.
All right.
So that we may properly connect you to your legislators,
did that work? Oh, maybe I need a pound.
The number you entered was...
Yeah, good. I'm going to fade that so you don't know my zip code and don't drop by here to see me when I don't expect it. All right.
I'm sorry. I do not recognize that zip code.
All right. Well, what happens is after they match up your zip code, they ask if you want to talk to Senator Feinstein, Senator Boxer, or your member of Congress, and then they automatically connect you up with the office comment line of that person. And you're expected to deliver the talking points that General Motors primed you with. It's an interesting propaganda effort, and I'm not buying it. Let me know what you think about a bailout for Detroit, and if you support it, how should it be structured? Lines are open. We'll go to the phones next at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs, conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Cruz. Come listen to the new Jennifer Cruz Show, Saturdays at noon, where we will get into it, I-N-T-U-I-T. We'll talk about intuition, emotions, and passions, all the invisible aspects of each and every one of us that nobody talks about. The Jennifer Cruz Show is made possible by Weiland Galleries in Carmel and Water Me Well Inner Healing Apparel. Visit watermewell.com. See you Saturdays at noon on the new Jennifer Cruz Show. Remember, Saturdays at noon, only on AM 540. Get into it.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Joe Lieberman, how can I miss you if you won't go away? The much younger pre-op Michael Jackson. I'm sad to report that the Democratic caucus in the Senate voted 42 to 13 in a secret ballot to permit Joe Lieberman to remain as chair of the Homeland Security and Government Oversight Committee. And as Jason Leopold pointed out, that puts him in a position to be a real thorn in the side of the Obama administration, because while Lieberman didn't use his position for any significant investigations of Bush Co., we know that his loyalties to the Democrats and to Obama in particular are suspect. So I think Democrats will rue this day, because Joe Lieberman will not return the favor. He will not return the loyalty. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'll eat a Lieberman bumper sticker. But you can't count on a conservative guy like Joe Lieberman to vote with the Democrats on the most crucial issues. It's also interesting to note that his favorability ratings in his home state of Connecticut are down at the level of Bush. He's got favorable ratings in the 30s, negatives in the 40s. And when polled, likely voters in Connecticut, by a majority, say they don't want to reelect Joe Lieberman in 2012. That's a long way off, so that could evaporate by then. But I do think it's an interesting marker of where things stand right now. John in Carmel Valley is calling in. Welcome, John. You're on the air.
should any of us be surprised at this Lieberman thing at all, Peter?
I was hoping that the Democrats in the Senate would take a look at his quisling behavior and say, you know, we need to smack him around a little bit and send him a message. But overall, well, no, I'm not surprised.
No, because it fits with all their... It's, I mean, the old can leopards change their spots, or, you know, all those scriptural references to Wiley and, you know, despicable characters. I mean, it. These people, I try to link them to biblical figures, but in some ways they don't. They strike me as more than evil. They're insane. I mean, I really, that's my assessment of most of them. I heard Harry Reid today say on NPR that, you know, the olive branch and harmony and affability and all this stuff is what matters most, when they may as well appoint Bush to one of their committees. You know, it's crazy. It's just lunacy, but it fits with all their other previous behavior. What are we going to say to them? You know, this is worse than treason. You all should go to some institution for the hopelessly insane.
Well, John, I understand your point there. I think it's really stupid politics. I'm not prepared to put them all on the couch and say that they are loonies. But we do have a kind of season of sweetness and reconciliation that is being promoted by the president-elect. And I'm skeptical. I'm in fact, quite cynical about this. I do not think that the olive branches that he extends, the cheek that he exposes, will not produce return fire from the Republicans. And I think that he is making a serious miscalculation here, that his whole campaign and the change message can really cause Republicans to change their stripes. The commentators on television are already trying to blame Obama for the Bush recession. We have fear-mongering going out on the Fox News channel on a regular basis. And gun sales have inexplicably spiked since Election Day. And that has to be a combination of these forces from the right. We even have G. Gordon Liddy out there telling people not only to buy guns, but don't register them, because that allows Big Brother to come and take them away. And so I really think that this is misplaced, and I'd love to be wrong about this. I believe in forgiveness and redemption and all of those biblical things, but I don't think that it's going to happen in Washington this time. And maybe Obama is more powerful and influential and will provide a kind of leadership that they respond to. But I personally don't see it in the cards.
Let me confess something, and this is a big confession. I didn't realize until recently that Bill Clinton had closed the investigations that there were going to be on Iran-Contra.
Yeah.
And that if he did, and he did do that, and once I learned that, the first question I've always wanted to ask Bill, if I could, was, what did you ever get for all the hunks of meat you were constantly throwing to Republicans? Because if they weren't going to love him for that, they should have just been in adoration for his NAFTA evangelizing campaigns. And they literally gave him nothing that I could ever detect. Nothing but the worst of ill will, thanks to Rush Limbaugh and that whole crew of hate mongers. But they weren't the only ones that fanned the flames. I wish Obama and company would look back on that sick chapter in our history and learn something from it.
Well, John, let me offer you two troubling contrasts, all right? Here is the guy who I was counting on to, block the extension of the Clinton dynasty. And he's populating his team with all these Clinton holdovers and is offering Hillary the Secretary of State job. So that's not the kind of change that I believed I was voting for. And then on the flip side of this, we have this kind of forgiveness approach that I think will only invite the Republicans to be more aggressive and to say, this is a guy we can take. This is a guy who's going to be believing in his campaign message that he can change the culture in Washington. And we're going to brush him back and show him with some early legislative opportunities here, you know, where the real power is in Washington and how good we are at obstructing the very kinds of change and progress that Obama campaigned on.
One thing more, I am religious in a kind of unorthodox way, but in the book of Daniel, you may recall that eerie incident where Belshazzar throws a feast and the hand appears and it writes on the wall that translated, it came out, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I pray, and I have a huge long list that takes me several hours to say, I can never say it in one sitting, and Nan Pelosi and Harry Reid and all these people who have given us so much of nothing and worse than that, and the Bush bunch, I have them all on that list, and my prayer is they all have an individual experience of seeing that hand writing on the wall.
Hmm.
If that doesn't do it, I don't know what will.
Yeah. John,
really
thank you very much. I appreciate your thoughtful call.
Bye-bye.
888-5 Peter B, if you'd like to join us. The line's open in the free speech zone. That's 888-573-8372. Here's Harvey, our green expert in Berkeley. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, Peter B. How you doing?
Good to hear from you.
Great. And I'd like to talk about the bailout, the General Motors bailout.
Sure.
Well, I think that they should be bailed out because the infrastructure is worth a fortune. And to take it apart and then have to reassemble it again, I think it's wrong.
Harvey, just talk into your phone a little more. You're kind of fading in and out there.
Okay, I think that they should get the bailout money because to disassemble the infrastructure of our car industry and then sell it off in pieces and then maybe have to reassemble it is too much. We have it there.
Well, Harvey, let me disagree with you there because I think the infrastructure is the least of our concerns. There are plenty of vacant assembly plants around the country that have already been abandoned by the big three automakers. And so I'm much more concerned about jobs and about the impact on our overall economy.
Yes.
And I see this as the opportunity we've been looking for to shift to green-collar jobs and to say goodbye to the fossil fuel past.
Well,
and throwing money at them right now just because they present us with false choices and threaten to take the company down, they won't do that. They'll sell off more components of the company. They'll find a way to bring in loans. You know, I mentioned T. Boone Pickens. Not really in jest. Here's a guy who is sitting on billions of dollars. He could personally loan the $10 billion that GM needs to get through February and use that as leverage to force his plans on them to develop a whole new generation of natural gas-powered vehicles. He spent $20 million trying to con California voters into passing, what was that, Prop 10, which was a giveaway to him and to his interests. And so I really am not persuaded by the hand-wringing and the alarming commentary that's coming out of Detroit. I believe that there are fundamental assets that you describe that would pass through the bankruptcy process to a viable operation that could make the best of them and transition to the green future that we're all talking about and Detroit's ignoring.
Well, I have an idea, actually, and that's what I wanted to tell you about. And my idea is called the Clean Energy Combo, and this would be that General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler would produce electric cars, and they would, with every electric car, you get a solar electric rooftop insulation. And all the federal, state, and the rebates and tax incentives are rolled into one. All the loans are rolled into one. And all they have to do is sign on the dotted line, and they get the car and the rooftop. And then the people who have bought that have reduced their carbon footprint, and they've also stabilized their energy costs for both their car and their rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the rooftop actually takes about 8 to 10 years to pay back. But that's just the power of the house. But if you're plugging your electric car into your solar electric rooftop and pumping Chevron pumping sunshine instead of Chevron,
yeah.
It actually, the money you're saving on the gasoline reduces the payback on your rooftop to about 5 years. And because the average rooftop is guaranteed for about 25 years, that gives you another 20 years
right.
for free electricity for your house and your car. So I think that General Motors should have the clean energy combo. And if you Google the word Korea, the country Korea,
yeah.
and the word lithium-ion battery.
Right.
If you Google Korea lithium-ion battery and hit the search button and then the news button, it seems that Korea, like they're using lithium-ion batteries, that's going to be used for the new General Electric e-car there, but they're already great. But Korea has formulated a new chemical composition that produces 80 to 90% more power. More efficiency of that battery. So now we have the batteries. We have them. They can't say we don't have the power.
Right.
So I feel that...
MIT had a breakthrough in solar collection batteries earlier this year, too.
Well, very
so
good.
There's a lot going on. And again, instead of throwing money to preserve a legacy by bailing out Detroit, we need to provide a track forward for a lot of these green companies. We got Tesla Motors producing an electric sports car.
That's right.
In the Bay Area. And I'd rather put money into that because it's the future than to prop up these failed people in Detroit. And I'm sorry for the auto workers who will be the inevitable victims here. But all we can do is delay the day of reckoning. I really don't have confidence in any kind of a government bailout, particularly after we've seen the way they've gummed it up with the Wall Street and banker bailout. Harvey, thanks for your call today. We're going to take a break and return. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. You're welcome to call here in the Free Speech Zone. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Sia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. We're still keeping an eye on the traffic hazard on the Del Monte Boulevard on-ramp to northbound Highway 1. CHP is now on the scene. Also on northbound Highway 1, just north of Fremont Boulevard, there has been a two-vehicle collision. CHP is on the way there. Moving on to southbound 101 on the East Market Street off-ramp, there has been a collision and an ambulance is responding. In weather right now, we've got areas of low clouds and dense fog. Some temperatures right now are King City is 59 degrees with scattered clouds. Monterey is 54 degrees and hazy. And Salinas is 53 degrees with scattered clouds. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic evening and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast. There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganip, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Politicians may come and go, but for the past 35 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry right here in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings, and because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's offices are conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
We're in the home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show. T-Bird say we gotta wrap it up.
I've been watching you for days now, baby. I just love your sexuation now, baby. You know my love will never stop now, baby. Just put your love in my box now, baby. Wrap it up. I'll take it.
And I'm just completing my sixth hour of progressive talk radio today. If you can stand more of the Peter B. thing, log on to your computer. I'm on Air America the rest of this week for Lionel, who's on the Air America cruise. So that's 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific time. Yeah, I'm up at the crack of dawn. And the leisurely hour, the coffee hour of 9 to noon Eastern time. Catch the stream at airamerica.com. Andy joins us from New York. Hello, Andy. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
All right. Hey, I wanted to think about that Mark Cuban, but you were talking about the Detroit bailout stuff. And you know, this is just ludicrous to me. Because when you think about what the auto industry has done to the U.S., you know, you start off with the Los Angeles transit system, how they ripped that up during the 20s and 30s, so you'd have these major highways down there. Remember what they did with Ralph Nader, how they attacked him for auto safety, and they actually tried to get him caught up with women in bed and so forth.
They bought up all the electric trolleys and replaced them with diesel municipal buses. I mean, yeah, they have taken us for a ride for the longest period of time. And their time has run out. And I want you to know, I have relatives in Detroit. I've got an uncle who's a pensioner at Ford, and I don't want to see these people bashed around anymore. But we have to deal with reality. And, you know, simply tossing money to them won't fix the underlying issues. We've got to get them to sell more cars. And the only way those business fundamentals will be addressed is if they change their approach to consumers. And, you know, it appears we've got to, that even, you know, whacking them upside the head with a 2x4 or even the plastic bumper from a Chevy, you know, doesn't get their attention.
Right. Bring back the EV1.
Yep. Well, I think that's one of the stipulations. We should say the Chevy Volt must be released within 12 months of the acceptance of the bailout money, and we want the EV1 back. There is no excuse for the way they took that off the market.
Absolutely. And they laugh at the Prius, the management of GM. They laugh at that. You know,
yeah.
Who's laughing now? It's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
And this Mark Cuban thing, I mean, this looks bad. Going back to 2004... with a $750,000 inside or 2004 insider trading.
Yeah.
I mean, there must have been a screen on this to go after him. This is pretty ridiculous. I mean, Mark Cuban can now join the long line of people that were taken down by these fascists, like Phil Donahue, mm-hmm. Elliot Spitzer, mm-hmm. Scott Ritter, Bernie Ward, Dan Rather, David Iglesias, Helen, the Dixie Chicks, Bill Maher.
And I'm glad you mentioned...
Join the line.
I'm glad you mentioned Dan Rather, because the New York Times article about this doesn't mention Rather or HDNet, but that's funded by Cuban. And that association could be as problematic as this contribution he made to the kids who made Loose Change. And even if you think Loose Change is a whole pile of crap, I don't, but many people do, I think that it's his First Amendment right to make a contribution to any form of speech he wants. And this is really chilling for the SEC to be prosecuting him when there's this paper trail that shows that the motivation, at least in part, from Jeffrey B. Norris, a lawyer in Fort Worth, is to rough up Cuban over the Loose Change funding. And I just find that deeply offensive, and it makes me want to rally to his side.
Absolutely.
The other piece here is that Cuban is trying to buy the Chicago Cubs, and maybe W wants to get back into the baseball business. Thank you, Andy.
All right, have a nice day.
All right, we got Bob in Carmel Valley listening on KRXA. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Peter. I want to go back to the issue about Obama and whether or not he can prevent the Republicans from being so horribly negative as they've been. And I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are. For one thing, I think there's a different paradigm in his leadership method. And I also think that he has the judgment to discern if he were unsuccessful after incorporating some of the Clinton-like appointees, he'll make an adjustment in terms of his behavior. He seems to be quick enough on his feet, and I think he's inspiring enough that I think the benefit outweighs any possibility that he's not going to emerge victorious in terms of separating. Bringing the country together is a better way of putting it.
Well, I hear you, Bob, and I want to be clear that, you know, I make daily comments based on the news of the moment. And, for example, in terms of the way he's assembling his cabinet and other top administration officials, I do understand that he's making some obvious moves here to mollify some political groups, to neutralize some political opponents. That politically I can read and understand. What I'm waiting for is the first progressive to be named to a top-level post in his administration. So far, he's recycling centrist DLC Clinton types, including Hillary herself. And we haven't seen any signals that those of us who helped Obama get his footing in the early primaries, those of us who rallied around his anti-war position and propelled him into the presidency, we haven't seen yet any indication that he's going to reward our support. And so I'm holding back. I offer, you know, my comments as these things come up. But I'm not offering a blistering indictment of Obama or rejecting him. I'm simply raising these points, hoping to add to the dialogue. And my whole goal is to provide the political pressure and the political cover to keep Obama moving toward the left instead of, you know, returning to center right. Those are my thoughts.
No, point well taken, and I acknowledge what you're saying, and I hope you're right, and I hope he does bring in some progressives. I think it would be in everyone's best interest. I think what he's dealing with now, which is the reality of the enormous amount of people that go into the legislation body,
yeah.
And there is an awful lot of decisions that have to be made quick, and quickness is almost more important. And let him get some confidence, and then he can start bringing in the progressives.
Bob, thank you very much. Trigger's here. I got to ride off. Oh, the sun's already set. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for joining me on the Peter B. Collins Show. Share a podcast with a friend. The link's on my homepage, peterbcollins.com. Until then. We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789, or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Warning that they're quickly running out of cash, U.S. automakers appealed to Congress today for a $25 billion bailout, saying bankruptcy is not the solution. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports.
The CEOs of the Detroit Three argue they are making the tough choices, downsizing and cutting labor costs while developing quality, high-tech, fuel-efficient vehicles for the future. GM's Rick Wagner said bad management is not why they need a government loan.
What exposes us to failure now is the global financial crisis, which has severely restricted credit.
credit availability.
A single witness against a government loan was a University of Maryland professor, Peter Morisi, who suggested bankruptcy ultimately would be good.
I don't think giving these guys $25 billion right now is a smart idea.
John Hartshe, CBS News, Washington.
At a separate hearing, Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson argued against tapping the $700 billion rescue fund to help Detroit.
The purpose is stabilizing and strengthening our financial system. The auto companies fall outside of that purpose.
Paulson came under heavy criticism from members of the House Financial Services Committee who said he should be spending money to stop mortgage foreclosures. Paulson plans to spend only half of the troubled asset relief program for now.
The prudent course at this time is to conserve the remaining funds available from the TARP, providing flexibility for this and the next administration.
At the same hearing, FDIC Chairwoman Sheila Bair said the government is falling behind the curve in the housing crisis.
Everyone agrees that more needs to be done for homeowners. We need to prevent unnecessary foreclosures, and we need to modify loans at a much faster pace.
She's proposed a $24 billion plan to help borrowers stay in their homes. Looks like Alaska Senator Ted Stevens has lost his re-election bid, and the Democrats have picked up another seat. Gail Finumai is the state elections director.
The division just finished counting absentee and question ballots that were in the office as of today, and the vote difference now between Senator Stevens and Mark Begich is Mark Begich with a 3,724 vote lead.
She says the result won't be certified till next month. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed says former Deputy Attorney General Eric Holder is likely to get the top job in the Obama administration.